Did you all hear that this call is being recorded?
Yes.
All right. So,
no.
All right, good, good. Okay, I am going to remute everybody so that we're all on the same page here. All right, and I'll be opening up for a conversation in just a bit. I'm not going to go to Q&A. I'm going to count on the fact that we can have a civil type meeting of a constructive nature, because you guys, I don't know if you guys are kind of following closely or not, but we're close to success, and we're not ready. And we need to get ready, and we need to take steps to go that direction, which is the reason for this call tonight. One of the things that we've identified is sheriffs. If sheriffs are not with us openly, in fact, I'm not even sure I would be holding out hope that they're going to be open. They may be open with us, but they may not be open out in public. But we need to have knowledge that the sheriffs are behind us. That being said, if you guys get a chance to look at the NLA website, you will note, if you go under committees, you will see that there is a, I got to make sure I select the right one here, the Sheriffs for Common Law Committee. And you can join that committee. The committee chairman for this committee is Robert Overhill. He lives here in Michigan in the same state I come from, and this guy does things with his sheriff that, in fact, I think if I just showed up in his office, I'd probably end up getting arrested. The guy is just so out there. But we need to start communications as we the people are communicating with our local sheriffs. I need to get people from all the states, as many counties as possible, to join the sheriff's committee. Robert Overhill has a lot of plans. He has sent letters. And here's what we can do. We can also send these letters out on behalf of the states and the counties through our fax blasting system. If we can come up with a good letter, or maybe, like we did in the very beginning, maybe handwriting a letter of a specific nature and mailing it to the sheriff, and then maybe even starting some actual face-to-face contacts. Robert Overhill has breakfast with his sheriff. I'm not even certain I'd be able to eat sitting across the table from mine. And I don't know how many of you all are in that same boat. But what we want to do is start an aggressive campaign for communicating with the sheriff in written form, faxes, emails if possible, letting him know, hey, we're here, we're behind you. Like we started about a year ago. I really loved that one handwritten letter that we all did. But I would like to have the state leaders start designating people or getting volunteers for people that will work on the sheriff's committee. And then start putting together plans for an aggressive attack. And for it, like in my state, let me just tell you, an aggressive attack would be actually just identifying myself personally as to who I am to my sheriff, which I would do with much trepidation. Because I'm in a county that is incredibly corrupt. And I doubt I'm alone out there. In fact, I know I'm not alone. All right. There's the other thing that we wanted to talk about. And I don't know how many of you do the math. If you take a look at how many counties.
Gary?
Yeah.
Hey, New York Charles. I don't think you're recording. I did not hear the message that says you're recording in case. I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. Sorry to interrupt.
Let me double check.
It says
no, my recording is on.
Yeah, it's on.
Okay,
thank you.
I didn't hear it.
Thank you for letting me know. Thank you very
much. Sorry for the interruption.
Oh, no. This is a welcome one. Okay, the other thing that we have to prepare for, if you take a look that we have, and where is that page here that says 3,133 counties in the United States that we live in? Well, just Michigan alone, we have 83 counties. We have less than 130 members. And of those, I'm not even certain how many still fog a mirror, let alone how many are active. If you think about it, we need 83 people times 4. So we need between 350 and 400 people to be able to staff 4 grand jury administrators in each county. We're at near on to 4,500 NLA members. Of that 4,500, I really don't know how many are active, let alone maybe even still playing on the same game we're on. But we need to start recruiting and bringing people into the fold. So that said, the other thing I want to talk about is NLA recruitment. And I had come up with an idea a while back when I was a state coordinator. I did not get a chance to get it off the ground because shortly thereafter I became a national coordinator. But I was thinking we could take advantage of this fax system, and then that would be a first contact. And then we follow up the fax with a phone call to our local, VFWs, American Legion Halls, Disabled Veterans of America, gun and hunt clubs. Just the other day, I was going in to the Michigan DNR because my son has turned 14, so now he has to actually take the hunter safety course. And I went into my local my Michigan DNR, and I was able to search where my son could take hunter safety courses. Well, so I selected the county where I lived and Oakland County, and there were somewhere between 8 to 12 hunter safety courses available, anywhere from individuals who will go to a gun range and teach to gun clubs and hunt clubs. Well, when I looked at my drop-down for Oakland County, I thought, well, wait a second. So I just went back up to the top, and I didn't select a specific county. So I did a search for the hunt clubs and all of the places that give the hunter safety course. I had a few hundred candidates. And so those are some people that we could call or send faxes to because these people have a vested interest in their Second Amendment right. But that was just an idea that I had, and we're open for other ideas to expand our ranks. Now, I also included on this call an invitation to our county organizers. Once we stopped organizing at the county level, I believe the county organizers kind of got left out. Well, we need to reawaken these people, and we need to actually expand the number of county organizers we have, because these people could also be helpful in gathering information for their state's, VFWs, American Legions. Does anybody else Has anybody else had any ideas like that or in that vein or any other ideas how we could actually, you know, actively recruit? All you got to do is just a star six to speak.
Hey, Gary.
Yes.
Gary, this is Max.
Okay. Yes, Max.
I've been trying to recruit for a while now, and part of my issue is, you know, we haven't had really anything for them to actually do, okay? So I guess my question is, can you elaborate on why we're close?
Why what?
Close to getting access to the courts.
Well, because we're starting to have an effect in the courts, and we are getting a reaction with the Courtroom Observer, and that leads me to believe that I didn't do. Oh, okay. Somebody was making some noise, and one of my coordinators helped me out there. Max, you can unmute yourself when you're ready to talk again. But the reason I'm saying that is that we're having an effect in the courts. We're having an effect with the Courtroom Observers. We're having an effect with our letters.
Gary, the judge's decisions reflect that they know we're there. The Stephen Dean case, they said we were terrorists, and by the end of the thing, they released this guy with 6 months probation saying that NLA people are just concerned citizens after all our phone calls. They had a plan on putting that guy in jail for the rest of his life. If it wasn't for NLA being there in the courtroom, he would have went. They had two FBI agents that took 2 years to set this guy up to put a gun in his hand, and they let him go with 6 months probation, which as far as they're concerned, that's a slap on the wrist. And the judge who said that he wouldn't give him any bail because he was an NLA member turns around and says, no, when the prosecutor was arguing with him because he's going to let him go, he says, I don't see any Al-Qaeda here. These are just concerned citizens. It's things like that that tell us that we're very close. We also are receiving reports around the country that they know who we are. Some of the police stations have said if you see anybody and they look to be like these NLA members, when you pull them over, don't give them any kind of ticket that brings them in the court. We don't want them in the court. They're more trouble than they're worth. So, you know, there are some signs right there that we're having an effect.
They don't want us coming into court. I mean, like right now, I'm going to learn how to do a habeas corpus. I just finished a civics course, and let me just tell you, you guys, if there's anybody on this call that hasn't finished the civics course, shame on you. It's terrific, especially towards the end with the G. Edward Griffin. You guys, it's just amazing. And it was actually only from the civics course, our call-outs, and the Courtroom Observer that I know we're having an effect.
Well,
am I worried we're too late? Always. But because the amount of corruption, when you stick your hand in somebody's pocket and stop the money flow, well, that's where they might draw the line, but that's just going to be another battle, a bridge that we will cross when we get there. Did I answer your question, Max? And Gerard help with me?
Well, here's the deal. I would like some specific cases that I can take to use as information because I'm scheduled to go talk to a big Liberty group on Sunday. And I need to say the last group I talked to, I'm still working on an affiliation with them. And if I can go in and say, you know, we're starting to have an effect, and this case, and this is what's going on. If I talk in general terms, I'm not sure it's going to be enough. I need a few specifics, and also because if what I would like to do, Gary, is go and say we need jurists. We need people to prepare to be jurists and administrators. We need this now. We're about to make a breakthrough, and I have to have something to back that up. Then
okay,
I think
yeah,
I'll get
I
more.
Hear you, man.
I think I'll get more permission because I know some people have joined NLA, but I'm not. I haven't heard from them in a while, and so it's you know it's. They need some concrete things or concrete reasons to join us and start preparing and learning. And so if I had some, if I can get that from you, you know, if I can get some specifics, I can talk to you offline later about it. But it would be very helpful because if I talk in too much general terms, they get all excited, but they're just, what do I do? And it's like, well, go take the Civics course. Well, that's fine, but that's a step towards what? You know what I'm saying?
And yeah,
that's what I'm fighting with the Liberty Groups because you have to realize a lot of these people, they know the problems, but they got their blinders on to a political solution still. I still can't seem to get them out of that path.
Okay. What do you do? So, we got Corwantos that were picked up all over the nation by Anonymous and put on, and even Anonymous said, reprint these things, bring them to your sheriff, bring them to your courts. That's what they should be doing. They should be reprinting the paperwork that we sent into the courts, that we sent into the sheriff, and they should be bringing them to their public officials and say, gee, do you know about the power of the grand jury, that the people run the government, and that this movement is putting the government back in its place and the people in their rightful place, ruling on the law? That's what they're supposed to be doing. That's what we're doing. Look, we have lots of victories. As a matter of fact, we've had a few victories in court. That one with the judge over there about a year ago, the woman won. I can't even remember them all, but most of the victories that we're going to get right now are going to be when they throw us out of court. They do out-of-court settlements. They don't want people to be able to go through the record and find a win because they don't want them duplicating what we did. So they always end up letting go at the last minute, pushing the people out. Matter of fact, who was that woman that was in court? And at first they said, well, pay a $50 fine and this and that and the other thing. And finally she said, no way. And they ended up paying her the $50 and dropping all the charges and paying her costs. Remember that? That was not even a year ago. That was 6 months ago. We have these wins all over the place. Now, I haven't been documenting them. Look, I worked in the committee man, and when we went in the tea parties, when John and I started the committee man process of trying to bring people to run as a in their precincts, in their districts, people, and then we ended up taking them to court because we found out that the system was subverted. People would tell us, well, we'll join when you win your court case. Well, if we would have won that court case, we don't need them to join. Because at that point, we won the battle. And we don't want people telling us, we're going to join you when you win your court case. Because when we win this court case, we're going to have a flood of people. We don't need them then. I mean, we need them, but we won't be shopping. They'll be wanting to come in, and they won't even get into where they want to be because those positions will be filled. And that's how you approach it. Look, so Liberty is popular. It's also pays well because you get rid of all the corruption. So they better get on the stick. That's how I would put it to them, that this is a movement that's up and coming because the time is now. And timing is everything. Everybody's fed up. We even have federal prosecutors running around arresting politicians and judges in New York because it's gotten that bad.
Yeah, and the thing is, the only thing that's changed since I've had kind of this conversation with you guys a little while ago is that we have a target of the sheriffs now. And if I can say, look, if I can convince them, and this is right, we need to start talking to our sheriffs about this and try to get them involved in talking to them, the sheriffs, maybe that is enough of a specific thing they can do that will get them to hook on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let me respond to some of this, because that is the key point. That is our next target, which is the sheriffs. But let's go back to some of the things you said and let's look at what we really need. What we really need is a few good men and women. That's all we need. We don't need a million people. We just need a few good men. Now, it is true that these Liberty Group meeting, the Liberty groups are still stuck on political answers and solutions. They don't, you know, they're in a frustrated state and they just don't know what to do. It's just like living through, you know, Groundhog Day. They just keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Now, the key people that we need, we need to reach out to the Liberty groups, and within the Liberty groups, we will find some people who have a little knowledge on the UCC, maybe some Bill Thornton stuff, and they've been looking at the Constitution, and maybe they've been in the court, particularly the people that have ended up in the courts, and those who have tested the courts with, moving violations, and they've tried to, work through the system, using some of the stuff that they learned on YouTube, and they started to dabble in the courts, or people that were arrested and finding themselves in a bad situation for something that isn't even it shouldn't even be illegal, but they've made statutes against it. You see, those are the people that we will capture if we get them to the site. Now, a lot of people, they've been taught, all of us were taught, really, just stay away from the law because you're not bright enough to understand it. You got to have a law degree to go into the law, into the courts, and fight the battle and win a case. So go get yourself a lawyer if you want to go to court. And we've been trained that way. And it's worked very well for them because they have totally made us ignorant. They've created a system and a process and procedures of the court that the common person doesn't know. And it took us a very long time to find a place where we could learn. How do you get into the courts? How do you write a paper? What is the actual processes of the court? What makes up the court itself as far as the paperwork and how does it work? And of course, it took some time for us to figure it out, and then to figure the real big problems was jurisdiction, and also that they were doing what's called summary proceedings, which shouldn't go forward at all, that is not part of the common law process. It is illegal and unconstitutional, and that a judge in a courtroom doesn't have the ability or the power or the authority to make one iota of a decision on his own. He's got to look at it. Is the trial jury that makes the decision in a courtroom, especially in a criminal case, of course, but in any case, really, where a trial jury is brought in. But even on the other side, what's called equity under Article 6, which is a common law court, also, they are supposed to rule under American jurisprudence. You see, equity court was created originally for the sole purpose of really creating the chancery system. And that's why they've turned all the courts in America into equity courts. And in the Judiciary Act of 1789, they put in the rules of chancery. And Marbury versus Madison fixed that. But again, they still continued with it because it's in the law and it's in their process of how the Judiciary Act, set everything up in the courts. And there's a lot of other bad legislation that has tied that together. But here's the key thing. If someone has a basic understanding of the courts, just basic, a little bit of knowledge, and if they come to our, and especially if they got a bad experience in the courts, if they come to our front page and read our front page thoroughly and watch the videos on the front page, they will get it. And those are the people we want. And remember, we only need, Gary mentioned four people per county. It's about 15,000 people nationwide to really do what has to be done. And that's not a terrible amount of a lot of people, okay? And we have about 4,600 members, and it is true a lot of those have fallen asleep. But bear in mind, we're not really a liberty group. We are an assembly, okay? And that's how we have to look at ourselves, as an assembly. But as an assembly, or maybe people look at us as a group, we are the most active organization going out there. I don't think any of these organizations have anywhere near the activity that we have, the involvement and the teachings and the learnings and people and educating. We have 600-700 people. Don't remember the number, but we've got a lot of people in the civics course alone, and that's a beginning of it. That's a great education right there, but there's more to it. We're teaching people to write. We have over 80 people learning to write papers, but the key is this, and here is the key. The state coordinators and the county organizers that are active, they need to come together. They need to get things going in order to communicate with their sheriff. We are working on a very special paper right now, which really focuses in and gets right to the duty of the sheriff, and for him to understand the major problem is a problem of due process. When the sheriff or his deputies are in the courtroom and they're in there, you know, watching over to make sure everything goes okay. And every day, all day long, due process is being violated right in front of them, and they haven't got a clue. We have to educate them so that they can recognize due process. If we were to able to get every sheriff in America to be educated on due process, and in the first day back in the court, every judge in America would probably be arrested that day if they all executed their duties. And that's where we got to get them, to show them what their duties are, maybe make them so that they're able to understand what due process is so that they can recognize it and understand when someone violates the due process, particularly a judge, and working in unison with a lawyer, any lawyer, that at that point these people need to be arrested right there, right off the bench. Now, this is where we got to get the sheriffs to, and that's going to take a little while to get to. But the bottom line also is this. We as the state coordinators and also the county organizers need to be working together in our states to find at least one person per county. That's all we have to do. Find one person per county that gets it and that's willing to get involved, because that person will look for a partner. And before you know it, they'll get four. But we're heading for a landslide. And when that landslide comes in, we're going to have a lot more than four people per county. And we should have at least one person per county in there ready to receive these people so that they can train them and bring them through the process. And they need to understand that they have to operate with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And to break that, it means that they've broken their vow and they need to leave. They either need to repent and come back into the fold of four, or they need to leave. And the other three have to be strong enough to step up and stand up and make this happen, because if they don't, then we're going to have a failure. So we need to get the integrity into the counties and into the courts, and that happens with one person per county, and that's what we should be focusing in on. And if you look at it from that perspective, we need 3,334 people. That's what we need across the nation. We already have 4,500 or whatever the number is that's up on our website right now. We already have more than enough people. The problem is we're not spread out far enough. But you know what? Even a person that lives in one county and the county is very close to them next door, and you got a couple people in one county, well, another person could take the seat in that other county, because you can work anywhere you want, at least until someone in that county stands up and gets into the courthouse. We have to be prepared to receive the populace, because if the populace comes in and they come in without direction and they come in with anger and revenge, we're going to lose everything that we've worked for to build up to get this. So this is a sense of an urgency, a sense of a time that we have to get out there, and we have to get into our counties, visit liberty groups, work the state county by county, and start getting as many people as we can and look for the people that will step up in their county and take control. And at that point, then we can control the whole process and make sure that the right thing is done. Otherwise, we're only going to head back exactly where we're heading away from, back to man dealing with the problem.
John, can I ask a question? How many on this call have even talked to one Tea Party group or some liberty group in their state?
Well, I have no idea. That's why we're here tonight, is to make sure that they get out there. We've been pushing this message out for a long time.
Well, that's
and
how
unfortunately, I'm going to tell you the big problem, though, and this is not true with every state, but unfortunately, these states seem to get people who are drawn up into the top to try to take the leadership, and when they come to their meetings, they talk about everything but the business that they should be talking about. They should be talking about organization. They should be focused in on the other meetings throughout the week that are necessary for conversation, that is focused in on what we're doing, how to write habeas corpuses, what's the process and procedures of the court. And you come to our Monday calls and you find out all of the information of all of the things we're doing in the entire National Liberty Alliance. And that's where we got to get to. We have to stop and get on point. And we start with working with our existing membership. Each state should be going into their membership and literally phone calling every one of these people to find out where they're at, if they're still active, and to try to pull them back into the fold and get them going. And we need to let them know where we're at. We've got some great successes. I wrote an email just recently, maybe a week or two ago, where we're asking for funds because we needed funding. And what we started to do was to list out what we have done, what kind of membership we have, what we're doing, how active we are. And it really ended up to be this email really laid out how powerful and strong National Liberty Alliance is as a group, and how active we really are, and what kind of membership and what we actually are doing out there. And I thought it became very impressive. And so that in itself can be used to bring people in to take a look at National Liberty Alliance to realize we are the only group out there. And again, we're not a group. We're an assembly. We are the only group of people out there that are capable and have the plan of saving America. There is none other, because you're not going to save it by electing an official.
I also want to reiterate some of the more important things that we've done that people have forgotten. Look at these writs that we put out, these papers that we have put out, most of them are court papers that have to be answered. We're getting met with silence. These are things that are all going to come back in the end. Look, we have sent over 1.5 million pieces of paper to every single elected official in the United States, Congress, Senate, all the judges, all the federal courts. Nobody's done what we've done, and the reason we did that is because we've worked in their system, and we know how they purge stuff. So what we've done is we've inundated them with our paperwork. They haven't answered us. This is – court is in session. People don't realize. We're not just mailing papers out. These are things that we're telling them, look, it, we're the people. We're the grand jury. You have a problem here. You got all this stuff going on. It's been laid out in all the paperwork. You're doing this and this and this and that to the people, and now you have a duty to speak, or you're committing felony rescue and fraud. That's all on our paperwork. Nobody else. And look, it, if we didn't get it right, they would have had the marshals, the FBI, which, by the way, we've been visited many times by those groups, put us in jail, which proves we are on solid ground with what we're doing, and that's why we're not getting arrested, because we're using their due process. So I just wanted to reiterate that, because we're not a group that just rah-rah shishkinbah with signs on the side of the road. We're filing legal documents that are going to come back to bite them because they have to answer them.
Hey guys. This is Tanner, Oklahoma. If I might throw in a couple of practical things here that I've been thinking about, and I hate to sound lazy, but I like things that are simple. I think they work, and the more we have fine-tuned the habeas corpus process for the intake is kind of what I'm thinking we might be able to do with recruitment if we make it simple. For example, have certain simple things we can put on Facebook directly from the NLA to share, that when people share it, it's sharing from the NLA, or linking people back to the NLA Facebook, or certain things that target certain audiences that are just pre-printed or pre-made, ready to print off, that we can just send to people. And then also very simple tasks to do, like Max was saying, testimonies, anything that we can document that we have done in specific cases, whether we can point to we can't point to where they won because they've been kicked out of the court, but we can show a testimony of an example of what happens when we do habeas corpuses, for example. Just make it real simple, so all we got to do is cut and paste and copy whatever we got to do. For people like me that I have a high workload and I'm losing people because they feel like they can't get their situation taken care of, I can target other people with this simple repeat and repeat, you know, and whoever could help fine-tune that stuff to be approved by us as a whole, so we understand that it's good, safe information. I mean, tweak it however they want, but it starts out right, then we can just take it and go with it, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel in every single county or every single group and every single conversation. We can just take it and go with it.
Well, let me dovetail off of that, because we have 150 habeas corpus cases, okay, where we're going to do habeas corpus, 150 people, and we do anticipate a huge winning throughout that process. And at some point, everything will be a win, because it'll get throughout the entire nation, especially in a federal court. And there's only 94 federal courts, and believe me, they know we're here, and they know we mean business, and they know our paperwork is good, and they're responding to our habeas corpus. And when that judge out there in Utah did a 180-degree turn, as Gerard was talking about. Believe me, every judge on a federal level has heard about that story and knows about that. They know we're here, and they're afraid of us. Now, with the successes, we've done 4 habeas corpus. 2 of them have been successful, and the other 2 are still, the jury's out on it. And we're working on paperwork in order to really kind of push this along. And in every case, it always took like an it took like 20 days beyond what was legal for them to finally release the individual. Why? Because first of all, they think they'd be able to beat it. Second, and they really never saw a real common law habeas corpus. Neither have they ever saw one that came from the grand jury. So all of that put together was something all brand new for them. And the lawyers in the case drug their foot. Ah, these things are nothing. But it's the judges that start looking at this and start to feel that they start to feel the pain and the concern, because the focus is going to be on them. They're the ones that are responsible. And when they come to terms with it and they discuss it back and forth, they come to only one conclusion, because they tried to figure out a way that they can throw this thing out and ignore it. And they only come to one conclusion. They've got to deal with it. It's never, you see, the habeas corpus has never been ignored anywhere in the United States for over 200 years. As a matter of fact, it goes all the way back to the Magna Carta. It is a very powerful, powerful paper. And so there's nothing they can do with that. So our success is really going to come, I think, in the next 2 months or so, which might take to really get all these cases out. But that brings us into another problem, and it's a dirty problem, the problem I always hate to talk about, but I do talk about it often because you can't get away from it, and that's money, okay? We have one case right now. It's a CPS case, and I think it was 28 people that have to be served on that one case. Now, most of our cases are only serving six, seven people. This is 28 people. And to serve six or seven people, it costs about $30-$35, okay, because we have to serve them. We want to do it registered, at least to the courts. We want to do it registered mail. They can't say they didn't get it, okay? That's number one. We also fax it out. That doesn't cost us anything, but that fax does cost us about $400-$500 a month just to have the service. And we use the faxing all the time now. But it's going to cost us, on this one case, this is 28, that's 7, 14, 21, 28, that's 4 times 35, that's 7, 14, 20. It's going to cost about $300 in the mailing just on that one case. And we have about 150 cases. So money is always a problem. And that's one of the things that really upsets me a little bit, because we do have a big membership and we do have a lot of people that come to our meetings. And we have people who listen from other places. And yet we still have so many people who refuse to put the $5 a month out of their pocket and into the till so we can save America. And now there's some people that give us $50 a month, there's some that give us $100 a month, some that give us $20 a month, some $10, and a lot of people that give us $5. But when you look at the numbers, it's only a few hundred people that are putting out the money all the time, over and over and over again. Yet there are thousands. I mean, look, we have 1,000 active people just alone. We have almost 780? I don't know the numbers. Gary, if you can pipe it out. Taking our free course. It's a free course. It's 120 hours. It took a lot of time to put that together, to collect all that information, and we gave it for free. We have up on our website, we have free access course, so how to access the court, how to write papers, and all kinds of footnotes and different things, all for totally free. Why? Because freely we receive and freely we must give. But if we're going to save America, we can't sell the tools necessary to save America. We got to arm the people with what we have, and that's why we put all this education out there for free. But the people who understand, and the people who are coming to the meetings, and the people who realize America's about to be lost, and the people who understand that National Liberty Alliance's plan is the answer to this whole thing, why aren't they putting their $5 a month or more into the game? Because without that, we're going to lose. But if we've got over 4,000 members, we've got about 4,500 members. If all of those 4,500 members gave us $5 a month, that's over $20,000. If half of those people gave us $5 a month, that'd be over $10,000. With that kind of money, National Liberty Alliance could do huge things. We wouldn't have a problem paying for any of the bills, and we struggle every month to pay a bill, believe me. And then we got to come up with that extra money to put this paperwork out. And we also, of course, we do ask people to help us to offset the cost. And some people send their cases in, and they haven't sent money. But we're not going to not do their case because they didn't send money, because we have to do what we have to do. But people have got to step up to the plate. They've got to step up to the bat, and they've got to put their money where their mouth is. And look, it's the bottom line. Either you want to save America or you don't.
Can I just say something to that one gentleman in the beginning that wanted to address the Liberty groups? He needs to ask them, do they know what their unalienable rights are? because nobody knows. And they are life, liberty, and property. And if they are violated and they people don't even know their rights, then how, you know, this is why they're stuck in the political realm. They need to find out what their inalienable rights are and how they're being stolen, and that how the common law grand jury is the only thing that's going to help to stop that.
Every time I do a talk, I mention all of that. I mention how they don't own property more anymore because they have property tax. No, I go through the whole thing.
How about Justice Antonin Scalia's writing about the common law grand jury?
I have a whole presentation that goes through that. It's about 30 minutes. I've been everything.
It's Richie from New Hampshire. Could I say something, please?
Yeah, hang on a second, Rich. I just want to just dovetail in on the private property, and I'll get off. Look, on this private property business, your land is your private property. And if you go into Black's Law and you look up private property, it really brings right back to the absolute. It's the absolute decision of an individual who owns that property, exclusive right to declare the disposition of their property, which means nobody else has that right. When a town comes in to try to put a tax lien on you or anything of that nature, they don't have that right of disposition. It is absolute to the person who owns the private property. And that's one of the things we're working on also, by the way. We're working on paperwork to turn property from residential or commercial to private. And once it moves into the private sector, they already know they can't tax you. So you see, again, another power, and this is something you can use, again, with Liberty People to let them know. Their property could be moved into private property, and they don't have to pay their taxes no more. Now, a lot of people
Assessor was prowling around my property one morning. I guess she didn't think anyone was here, and I went out, and sure enough, it was a tax assessor. And she went right down my driveway and back up the neighbors, and then I put my finger up, please stop. And I said, are you lost? And I realized then by the license plate, it was the town. And she said, oh, I'm the tax assessor. I'm looking to see if the neighbor put up a garage. Well, what was she doing in my driveway up by my house? And I said, you know, I'd like to have my house taken out of the public domain and put into the private domain because I don't want people ignoring my no trespassing sign and coming up my driveway like, you know, they can do this anytime. She said, oh, no, we can't do that.
Right.
Why not? She said, no, I can't. I can't do that.
But there is a process. As a matter of fact, we're working on 3 or 4 cases right now. And once those are perfected and we have success with it, then we'll share it with everybody.
Tell her to put that in writing that she can't do that because she can't tax you. Let her put that in writing.
Oh, I did. I sent her an affidavit with asking who issued the order for her to come and do this, prowl around my property and who she worked for and what state of the union she belonged to.
If she documents that she's making it residential property for the purpose of taxing it, you can sue her because that's arbitrary and capricious. In other words, she's going to put the status of that property, and she's not the property owner. John just said the person who owns the property has the ability to put the status on it.
Absolutely.
And I just recorded the deed in my name. I mean, I need to get hold of the deed because they're holding it at the hall.
Let me suggest that we get back on point, though. I mean, Gary,
we need to
focus in on the purpose of the meeting, which should be organizing the nation.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, my name is Ron. I want to volunteer to help with the IRC to start doing these habeas corpus. I'm calling from California. I've already put my submission to volunteer online. Nobody's called me yet. I'm interested. I want to get started. I want to help myself and help other people out.
Right. We do have people organized now, and they're going through a process, and each one of those are pairing off into partners, and each one of those will be receiving 2 students, and this is all being done now. We have a little over 80 people in the system, and we have about 12 people who are being trained right now as we speak, and of those 12 people, They should be going out and getting two people apiece. That would be 24 people. And then the rest of the people have to wait a little while until those pairs of twos are educated to the point where they can move on their own, and then they will go out and train two people. And this will then, therefore, grow us exponentially in the knowledge and understanding of creating and writing these writs.
Well,
so
we're working on,
and we should have a meeting coming up. There is a meeting. The meetings have been in the morning. We pushed them over to the evening where they should be, and I'm not sure what evening they'll be, and Gary will tell you that. But it'll be 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every week, and that meeting will be for the sole purpose of learning writ writing. And they will be dissecting the paperwork that we have and going through teaching. We also will give people access into the training courses that we've given, which are really MP3s. We are training quite a few hours, each one of them. And people will have access to that. They should listen to those tapes and start preparing and getting to understand on how to write these things. So when they get the forms, they then will be able to understand exactly what to do with them and how to fill them out. So
we're organizing that now, and
I know it's a little slow and behind, but let me let Gary take the rest of that answer back, because he's working with others to try to get the communications going.
Well, one other thing, and I'm going to give you the floor. One other thing. I've been listening to you guys talk about your successes, and I'm happy for that. But I just want to let you know, out of the 50 states, there's only 49 of them, and the other one is California all by itself. Because I haven't heard anywhere that California's had any successes anywhere. And that's where I'm at. And
well,
I want to
California just had an awesome success about 9 months to a year ago, that you guys passed one of the most liberal gun laws in the country. If you don't believe that you're having penetration in California, I mean, I don't know what you need to know.
Well, I'm talking about mortgage foreclosures out here, because I know a whole bunch of people are just getting their homes stolen from them.
What's your name?
My name is Ronald Paulson.
You've just been approved.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is Tanner from Oklahoma again.
Anyway. You were going to be approved. We're just ramping up the trainers. And now that you're approved, you will be receiving the emails for when the meetings are coming up. I think the last time I looked, there were only 3 people who had not been approved. There are more now because more come in every day. Every day. And I'll tell you.
But we have a rule here.
I hope the IRC does not turn into the civics course. I go into the civics course.
Here's the thing. Nobody is getting approved to join the IRC unless I talk to them. And if you don't answer your phones or you don't return the phone calls, that's why you haven't been approved. And if you don't have a phone number, then you can't be called. Okay?
That hasn't been my problem. I've been babysitting my phone. I haven't had a job since Barry's been the president.
Hey, guys, this is Tanner from Oklahoma again. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but... like a practical plan of action, maybe solution. I'm just trying to figure out if maybe we can set something up to where if we don't have the capability to sit around and make our own flyers and things like that, that we can have some just basic ideas maybe set up before the end of the call, that we can have some material that we just simply can grab that's already been set up.
There should be a lot of approved material already over at the media. Now, we've had a debacle over there with the leader of that, but we have someone back in control over there, don't we, Gary? And there should be a lot of approved material. And look, it doesn't take much to get material approved. You should send it through the media group, and they should be able to get it approved pretty quickly. But if you really have a problem and you think it's important and you got to get a flyer out and you want someone to look at it, get a hold of Gary, get a hold of me, get a hold of Gerard, get a hold of one of the national leaders, get a hold of Jan, get a hold of Robert. All their numbers are up on the website. Get a hold of one of them, and they'll look at it and make sure that it is an appropriate message for National Liberty Alliance. That's all.
Right.
And
most messages
we found are appropriate so far. So
I'm saying I want to grab one that's already been approved. So I don't have to redo it. You know, I just
media should have it, don't they, Gary?
Look at anything that we've sent out is already approved. Anything we've sent to any officials, you can use any of that. You don't have to ask us.
Right. Yeah, I got you. But
can
we make simple targeted things? And mainly, like, I'm on Facebook. I can do that any time of the day, even while I'm working, if I'm careful. You know, I can always share something. Do we have a official Facebook page? Because I know there's one created in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
I don't even have control of.
No, we do. We got a couple of them, actually. But
one
of them.
Yeah, but let Gary handle that, because he needs to be talking a little bit about what we do have, where you can get approval and what approval. There's a lot of stuff in media. I don't know how reorganized they are now.
Videos. There was videos that, what's his name, made that was supposed to go on Facebook. Remember,
yeah, you know, you can make
we've
it.
We've got information for tweeting. We got information for Facebook. We got, and again, Gary, am I wrong on this? I mean, again, I know that we've changed leadership over there, but where are they at with that? And who's in charge over there now?
We're still in the process of getting a media replacement on Twitter. Facebook.
Yeah, but who is in charge of the committee itself, as the committee leader?
I haven't selected one yet.
Okay, well, we got to move on that, and someone needs to volunteer.
We do have some choices, but I'm not looking for one committee person. I'm looking for three media committee people.
Right, but you need one committee chairman, and then you can have subcommittees under that, and the committee chairman is an orchestrator, orchestrating all of the work and making sure that these people have freedom of being able to do expression, freedom of expression. Now, of course, we have to approve the language and the message, and make sure that it is adequate and works with National Liberty Alliance's plan, and that should be a quick correction. I mean, again, you know, you get Gerard on the phone and you read it to him. You say, yeah, that sounds good. Go with it, or change that word, or don't use that word, or whatever it is.
Can we? If I would volunteer to at least help if they could put me as an administrator or something on the National Liberty Alliance page. I got a lot going on, but at least that way it would notify me, and I could help answer questions or whatever I can do to help, and I can also forward and share. But should we send a friend request to every single member we have on Facebook? That way they can just click it, and they're on there, and they're all getting updated. You could send a message on Facebook, and at least anybody of the Facebook generation would get the message instantaneously on their phone, their computer, everywhere they go.
We had someone who apparently is supposed to have had 30 or 40,000 people on their Facebook, and they were supposed to be leading the whole thing and getting the message out, and it really never happened. And there's a lot of things, you know, that really should have happened in media and hasn't happened. We got to get someone who's going to be held accountable.
Excuse
if they're going
me,
to speak
I?
The words, then they got to just keep the words. You know, if you can give 2 hours a week and you say, I'm going to give you 2 hours a week, we expect that 2 hours a week. If
Excuse
you're retired
me.
Or an entrepreneur and you can give 30 or 40 hours a week, and then if you so say those words, then we expect those 30 or 40 hours a week on whatever work it is that they're working. But we do have a lot of people who are interested. I don't think they have a leadership over there now, I guess. Is that correct, Gary?
Yeah, we're a little short.
Can you add me to the Facebook? Can you add me to the Facebook, Gary?
I don't know.
You can add administrators on the Facebook by logging in as the admin or whoever has control of that. You don't want to lose control of that.
But
we don't want to lose.
I'm not an admin.
That's bad news, because it's like a website. If you can't get a hold of it, then someone else has control of it.
Who did we give control of our site to?
Well, that friend of yours, John, that made me a moderator.
I'm sorry.
You need to ever.
Gary?
She's gone, John. She's gone.
This is Richie from New
York.
We
never. Hold on, everybody. Hold on. No, we never gave her control of our Facebook. Papers, you know, our pages. But we're building Facebook, aren't we?
I didn't think Facebook was going to let us
you can make people be able to make certain edits or posts or comments.
Right, right.
But keep them from actually changing certain information on there. And that's what I was doing with CPS for a little while. You know, I saw a lot of enemies coming on there, and I would respond to them, you know, appropriately as best I could, just attacking the CPS. But I'm willing to, if someone can add me on there, then at least I can, when I, in my spare time between doing this other stuff, I can at least check up on it and see what's going on.
And we have a lot of material that should be posted. We had a lot of people that did a lot.
And it's all sitting ready
to go, and you could post.
Well, you can even do a time lapse where you schedule things in advance, so that does it like once a day, or at a certain time, or once a week, so you can get way ahead of it. And then
right. You
know, the other thing is we could put a link out there to our Facebook page so that everyone could just simply click
phone. Why don't you get a hold of Gary during the week and talk with him about some of these things? And Gary, why don't you talk with Carl? I know when we were connected up, and we still are connected up anyway on Meetup, I connected Meetup with Facebook, and any time if there was some kind of a thing that went out, we were doing anything, it also went out to our Facebook pages. And I'm wondering if using the program we're using right now, if we can do something, if there's a plug-in, so that when we make a notification of something or something somewhere, that message would automatically go to Facebook.
I'm looking into doing that, actually, and that is a PHP program what I'd like to do is have a Facebook page for all 50 states, and all those 50 states get a feed from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury Facebook page. So you place it in one, it automatically feeds it out to the 50, and then the counties can create their own Facebooks.
Well, they did that with the Fathers' Rights Movement, and I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but it does get almost overcomplicated. If you just have the members on one solid Facebook page, there's a national one for the Fathers' Rights Movement, every one for every state, and they even broke it down further, but it gets lost. You know, people get divided up.
Yeah, I could see that could have a problem, yeah.
So the thing is you can control one national thing and let anybody say whatever, and their comments are on a second segment that doesn't show up unless you approve it to be on the front. And then you can click to dig further if you want to see people that are naysayers or whatever. And you don't have to edit people. You can let them say whatever they want.
Yeah, Gary,
and,
you should connect with Tanner here, and you guys.
Yeah,
should
I am going to connect with Tanner.
Yeah, because he seems to know some things about how this works. You know?
Hello, I'm on, dude. And just for the record, the media campaign forum does have tons of informative information that you can use, like flyers. It does have videos, Twitter,
Absolutely. And
slogans. And these have all been pre-approved. So I don't think you can get through all this material.
That's true because I approved a lot of it, and I never saw it again.
That's right.
Is it organized by, like, sheriff and this and that and the other, or do I have to sift through it? I mean, I don't mind. Like I said, I'm going to be the devil's advocate here of laziness, but that's how people are on Facebook.
It's actually not that hard. It's probably
it's pretty easy
areas.
To get through.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's not
okay.
That hard.
Well, I'll talk to Gary, and I'll help out the Facebook as best
I
can.
Yeah, and I think that's going to make a big difference.
Anybody who has the time and has certain expertise in a certain area, volunteer for it and spearhead the program with us. We need people to take control. Look, this is what it's all about, the people taking control. And we want to people to get involved and take control, because ultimately the people have to take control on the county level in order for us to succeed at what we're doing. So every
one other thing,
has to have four people, you know, pushing the common law.
One other thing, and then I'll shut up about it, but people get millions of followers by making a less than 5 or 10 minute video once a week or so. And I don't know if I'm capable of actually doing something like that per se, but man, if you could take a clip out of some of your conversations or something with a video that shows, I don't know whose face could be on there or whatever, make it funny, make it stupid, and people will follow the crap out of it. And that YouTube links right to Facebook. In fact, when you scroll down my Facebook, the video automatically plays without sound, and then if I click on it, if it looks interesting, I click on it and I hear it. And I'm just telling you that stuff works.
Yeah, you have to go with something that's trending, something that's in the national news. You're talking about going viral,
And so this is what's going to get what people are searching on the web, for example, YouTube or anywhere on Google.
If you're funny, funny or something catches your eyes on the video on Facebook, it'll send you right to the YouTube.
Listen,
and you know what? You can even add, like, adding meta tags or keywords of those things that are in the national news to your video. And you know, I mean,
it'll send everybody back to NLA site. That would be the main thing, in my opinion, is that everything you click goes right back to the NLA site, period, in discussion. That's how they did in the Fathers' Rights Movement, so it didn't take you away. In fact, the reason for the states was so you clicked it and went to the local state. You could do that for that. The argument for that is to get people local. So if Oklahoma sent it out, it would go to the Oklahoma Fathers' Rights Movement. If it went from Idaho, it would go to Idaho, but it all came from national, for example. So that would be the only argument for having all the division. But, Gary, I'll talk to you. Just call me sometime, and I'll try to answer.
Excuse me, this is Lori.
Yes, Lori.
Hello? Yes, thank you. I have a particular problem. I had been wanting to contact our Colorado membership, our assembly, and I was told not to do that until I received a script from National. So I said, okay, so every week I have been asking, I've been sending an email, where's the script? I need to get these people called. We have people coming on to Colorado and without a contact. This was discussed in our District 10 meeting.
Okay, but whoever told you that, you should pursue it with them, and they should bring it upline. If you have a district meeting, it's led by, I believe, a national leader, and they, you know, we talk all the time on, you know, those people who are, you know, the national coordinators. And good point, and we need to do something about that.
Yeah, excuse me, John, I don't mean to interrupt, but I was told that this would be taken upline and that I would get a script, and this has been at least a month ago, and I'm not going to blame Lawrence because he has been absolutely awesome. He's not available for the next couple of weeks yet because he's out of town, but I need that script, so who or where is this going to come
okay,
from?
Okay, and
so
the script is for?
Calling our people so that we have a set script to go by.
Okay, good idea. Yes. Okay, well, we need to do that. We need to create it. And, you know, instead of waiting for us to create the script, if you got some good ideas, put them together and create a script, and then look for approval. And the best thing to do is to put an idea together with three or four or five people and then get a little script going and then read it out and then brainstorm it and work on it and then produce it. Because if we have to produce it, it will go on the back burner because there's just so much that we have to produce. There's a lot of work to be done. So we do need creative people. Anybody who's creative, look at step up and show us your creativeness, put things together and propose them. And if they're a good proposal, or if we have to make a little tweaks, we'll make a few tweaks, and let's get it out there.
Okay,
I know that you love this, John.
Okay, sounds good. That's the way to do it.
Yep. The scripture scholar, John Durash, what about the blood moon that's coming in 10 days?
Can I jump in there, Gary, please?
It's coming, like it or not.
Is there anything we should know about it? It's the fourth one in a year or a little bit more than a year?
Yeah, I don't put a lot of weight on those things. Some people do, but I don't, and I don't know what's going on with it particularly. I mean, so I'm not sure exactly what you're asking.
Hello, can I break in, please?
Yeah.
You just did. Go right ahead.
Yes, hey, this is all in Colorado. I'm on Laurie's County Organizers. I've got a lot to say, but I'll make it brief. I've talked to Robert a couple of times, and I sent in a notarized vow for Sheriff's Committee. I never did get a response. But anyway, here's my situation in Colorado. I've been a friend with my sheriff on Facebook for a year. I know how he thinks. I know what he's fighting. I've been trying to get a meeting with him, with Lori and Max, and he told me here weeks ago in late September. But here's the thing. These sheriffs out here, they know their power, but the feds keep pulling them into a political battle. The sheriffs out here, they're spending 95% of their time in a political battle. I finally got my sheriff to call me, and I asked him, I says, did you read any of the National Liberty Alliance stuff they sent you? And he says, let me tell you what. He says, I got a stack of papers 4 feet high. I haven't read, I don't read anything. But see, they're locked in this political battle. Now, here's a plan.
Well, here's the answer. Here's the solution, though, to that, is they should turn that political power into a constitutional battle. You see, because they are the constitutional officer. They are the final law. And if he wants to, if he has reason to, he can arrest those federal agents or anybody involved in trying to prevent him from doing what has to be done. And that's what they need to be doing. I know they're frightened to do that because they don't know by what authority, and they don't think they'll be able to defend themselves when they get attacked. And that's why we're trying to give them that defense.
Yeah, so John, here's my plan. Here's what I'm thinking. Here in this county, I would like to choose one case and get a good habeas corpus going, and with a good next friend. Okay, if I could get a successful release out here, I would get other people interested, involved. That the next friend, I would start grooming them and say, hey, you want to be on the indictment? Get on that civics course, study. Now, for that indictment, you take the writ course. And I just keep working. Next thing you know, I've got a county administrator. Next thing you know, I've got two county administrators. I've got something going. And then, here's the thing about the sheriff situation. When we get a successful release, then we go to the county, and then we go to sheriff and say, hey, sheriff, looky, we are doing something. You've got the people's support. Now we're going to need your help. And that way we'll get the sheriff's attention, and I'll start building up some membership here in Larimer County. And the next thing you know, I will have four county administrators, and the next thing you know, I will have a Larimer County unified common law grand jury.
Well, you know, you just pretty much laid out the plan that we've been working on and that we are working on, and that is, it's exactly it. Working on these successes and working with sheriffs. Look, we have the two cases that are up in the air right now. We're now working on paperwork, which is a letter, and then we'll be making a phone call, particularly to the sheriffs, okay? Because we have to get the sheriffs online. We have to notify them of the duty. We have to make sure they're going to do their duty. And once they understand when someone breaks the law, what that is, and they can acknowledge that, then we're going to expect for them to go out to make the arrest. And we plan on having some arrests going off down in Long Island soon. But it's going to take a little time because, again, these guys are afraid to act outside of what, going to mommy and daddy judge and prosecutor. Everything they do, they go to get their permission from the prosecutor. And the points we're trying to make to these people is, look, if you got to go get your permission from the prosecutor or the judge, why don't you just hang up your hat and give them your badge, because they're doing your job. And they're not doing a very good one at it because they got RICO on steroids going on while you're just totally being controlled here and don't even recognize it. And this is the message we got to get out to these sheriffs. But it takes time to do that.
Okay, John, let me ask you this then.
If you're going to the judge for permission, you're taking letting the fox go to the hen house.
That's right. He just gave up his duty as the sheriff. And that's what we need these people to understand. But again, I understand. Look, when this guy goes into the courtroom, when I'm talking about the sheriff and the deputies, they go into the courtroom and they listen to the judge do what he does to the people. They don't even recognize that judge needs to be arrested right then and there because he's violated their right of due process. Every judge in America, and again, I don't know whether I said this on this meeting or in an earlier conversation, if every sheriff was to understand overnight what it was for the violation of due process, the following morning when they're in the courthouses, every single judge in America would be under arrest. But they don't know. They can't recognize it. They can't see it. And that's because they've been dumbed down, and so have we. We just happen to be awakening.
Well, listen, they're told that they're there to protect the judge from irate people. And what they haven't thought is, why are the people irate? Well, because the judge is raping the people. That's why they're irate. But nevertheless, the sheriff and the people have a symbiotic relationship. The sheriff needs the grand jury, and the grand jury needs the sheriff. Now, if there's one thing I've ever seen that backs up a judge or any other political animal, and believe me, your sheriffs are a political animal by virtue of the fact that they're elected. in order for them to do anything in their county, they have to play ball politically. But the main thing they need is they need their constituents to pick their heads up. You can't send your sheriff up the hill with his sword out when he turns around there's nobody behind him, because he's committing personal and political suicide. So the way that you do that is when you get in these cases and something's coming into the court, you bring your court watchers in. I've never seen anything that backs a judge up like having 5 or 10 or even 50 people in court. We had 60 people on one of our court cases, and I thought that judge was gonna spit his tongue out. Remember, John? And we made him go in the room. Look, they fear the party, but they fear the people more, because the people really are what the party's supposed to be. It doesn't represent the people anymore. They claim it represents the people. So when the people amass and they come together and they go in the courtroom, that judge knows that there's clout there, and they don't. None of the stuff they're doing can they do in the daylight. So you have to get people to show up to the courthouse. The court watchers are very important. When the sheriff or his deputies, whoever who's working in the court, see these people there and they're giving affidavits and stuff, he's going to learn real fast that those are his constituents. You want people in the county to do that. Now, yes, you can get people from the neighboring county. It doesn't have as much effect, because I know one thing the sheriffs do, at least here in the Northeast, when you're in there doing anything or you go to a meeting, a Tea Party meeting, and they got the sheriff there, he always asks you, what county are you from? Because he wants to make sure he has his constituents, his voters, the people that keep him in office. And in lieu of that, he has to make nice with the board, with the county board, who has the purse strings to his office. So he needs the people. And we're the people. Yeah. And you have to get the people out. And look, at that sheriff will stand up if he feels like he has the people. And that's what's been going on. Look, we had this judge that said all these administrative courts are unconstitutional. Why do you think she did that? She did that because she looked out there and she saw probably us and some other groups and some of these federal prosecutors, and she felt that it was okay to lift her head up and say something, because if she would have done that 4 or 5 years ago, that would have been the end of her. So as the people come out, the elected officials will be more willing to do their job, because they won't be sticking their necks out so far. They'll have the buffer of the people. And just like we need the buffer of the sheriff, we need his arrest powers. We need him to put those officials. Look, if a sheriff stands up to the federal government, they always turn around, they always back down, because they know it's such a fundamental thing, and they know that the militias will get up, and anybody that knows anything about anything will support that sheriff. And so every time, 100% of the time that I know about, that a sheriff has stood up to a federal official, they always back down. But what the sheriff doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to do is to stand up to a county official. And that's up to you people to get in there and give him the support, so that when he stands up to that county official and that county official tries to throw his weight around, the people will remove him from office. As a matter of fact, the grand jury can say, listen, sheriff, we're going to indict that official, because what he's doing is against the law, is unconstitutional. And that's all you got to do is get the ball rolling. It's going to be a big steamroller once it goes, I'm telling you.
Okay, let me ask you, how could I get it rolling? You know, if I had some court observers in there, you know, and then start hanging out in the courthouse and say, hey, look at that case. It would dawn on us. That'd be an excellent case. Recruit that, get a habeas corpus on that case with a good next friend. And just tell me how to get the ball rolling.
Well, look, we have no shortage of people that go to court that call our courtroom observers. I mean, anybody in your county that's being brought to court for anything, they should be utilizing our courtroom observer system, which is nationwide. And we do calls nationwide. And, like, let's say somebody was facing jail, we even have people calling from other states, calling the judge, calling the jail. And that still has an effect, because that's the other thing that scares them, the fact that NLA is nationwide, so they know they can't control us, but they say, gee, we got people watching us from other states, you know what I mean? That's a little intimidating. However, you know, for a judge and a sheriff, really the people that control them are their constituents, because they put them in office, and they know that. But mainly is you have to show a force of the people. Now, you can go look for a case if you want. I mean, there's no shortage of cases. You know what I mean? They're all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could pick somebody, you know, locally there that has a problem, you know? I mean, I don't know. What county are you in?
I'm in Larimer County, and like I say, Gerard, if I could just get one good next friend and one good habeas corpus release, it would snowball, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't think it's so impossible. They're happening now. We're just getting that ball rolling.
Yeah.
And if you keep driving every day, maybe you'll be the case, because they're out there grabbing everybody, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd love to be in that Kentucky county where Tim Davis is going through all that. I would love to be in that county. I'd jump all over that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that was a good example of the masses of people having the effect of releasing the victim.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big problem with that is they pulled the 101 on how to get the legal court battle evaded. You know, they dismiss the case, and then there's no fight, and therefore no win other than the victim being released. This is one of the big issues, even with the habeas corpus. You're getting the people released, but we're not getting that court battle. That's
well,
going to actually.
That's only because we're busy. Look at when they release them, they're still going to be indicted. We don't right now. Our focus is to get the victim released out of jail.
Oh, absolutely. By no means am I saying
go back after that, but we haven't had the wherewithal to do it yet. We have too many emergencies.
Right.
Hey guys.
By no means am I saying the habeas corpus. You know, obviously that's a very powerful tool that we have to keep using. But what I mean is that core battle that we got to get the stick. For example, going back to Kim Davis, what if now we can get her to file a lawsuit? Now they wouldn't be able to evade this case. I mean, I don't know if that falls into the realm of something that we'd want to pick up on, but I'm just saying as an example. And going back to the sheriffs, I just wanted to make a comment about that. With the sheriffs, we keep talking about going out to support the sheriffs, and we do have to do that. But what about the sheriffs that are already standing up and getting public attention around the nation? I mean, we've had examples from sheriffs and even judges and others. We need to. You mentioned earlier, Gerard, about the. Documenting that you haven't documented the wins that you're seeing out there, and I mean, and it's true. I don't think anybody has been documenting, but I think we need to create a list or a page, document who these people are standing up for the Constitution, because number one, they'll be recognized not only by us, but by everyone who comes to the site. We'll always be able to reach back out to these people. They'll be in our Rolodex of people that are for the fight. For the cause. And with the sheriffs, we need to reach out to those that are being spotlighted, because I know we've had a few of them that stood up. And like you said, he looks back and there's no one behind him. But yeah. So I just wanted to make that statement. And hopefully we can.
Unfortunately, the most publicized sheriffs that have stood up are very, very ignorant on what their powers are. I mean, they understand that, like I said, they know how to turn the federal government back, but they don't know how to take care of the political county battle. That's what they're afraid of, and that's what we need to teach them.
Maybe. But we could put our successes on there. We could put our testimonials on a page, is what I heard from that, and that's something that I could then put on Facebook, for example, even with some sweet music behind it, showing the paperwork going in and showing how the judge had it back up. People love that stuff.
Yeah, we don't have a sheriff that helped us win a case so far. We have us intimidating the judge to back off his case or spit the person out and release them. That's what
and
we
that
have
can,
right now.
That could go viral, though. You know, yeah. I've seen... My thing is inundated with people going in there and getting judges upset and things like that. But when you show a solid, like, this guy's out of there, he's released, and then later we're going to come back and button it up, that kind of stuff people want to see, they're hungry for, you know. That's where I lost a lot of my membership at the time I didn't have even a start in this habeas corpus like I'm doing right now.
Yeah, you know what? We should have documented that woman that refused to take the plea and made them pay her and release her, and that would have been a great one. I don't know if she was willing to put herself out there, because she would have went viral. Now, the
what
question,
did she do?
Oh, she was in a court, and she we helped her file paperwork, and they tried to plea her out. It was major charges, and they're dropping it down further and further, and they want her to plea to some violation like disturbing the peace, and she refused to. He'd pay a $50 fine, and she said, "Absolutely not, I'm suing you." And so finally,
can we get that thing lined out on like a presentation or something that we can show people that?
You know,
I think that was Tammy.
Her do a testimonial video or something and put it on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm sure if we can get a hold of who it was and find the details out.
Yeah, we can interview her and then add in our documents with it and then kind of show in a sample that's within 5 or 10 minutes that people could watch real quick and say, wow, this is what they're doing.
That's the stuff we need to convince people to join our cause. I mean, that would be powerful.
I think that was Tammy in Connecticut.
Was that Tammy? Okay.
I think it was Tammy Stroud.
I just remember the incident. I don't remember, and
if,
I think you're right.
Do we have a YouTube account besides John at Liberty or John Liberty? Do we have a YouTube account besides that? We have a National Liberty Alliance YouTube account?
I don't know that we do. I don't think we do. I mean, I know.
Well,
we don't want anyone to set it up for us. If we do set one up, it has to be directly connected to National Liberty Alliance. What we did have is the John Liberty. You know, I got two YouTube accounts, and one of them is John Liberty. And that's where, one, I have a lot of stuff up there for a very long time, and I'm afraid they're going to shut me down. And so what I did is I opened up another account, which is John Liberty, and pretty much everything over there is a lot of stuff that we created ourselves. So that they can't shut me down for saying I've used someone else's information. But I don't know if we'll come together and talk about that. If it's thought that it's important that we should have a YouTube that actually is National Liberty Alliance, we could set that up. And we could do something on a weekly basis. I mean, I can write a special message out there which really teaches people common law. Maybe the big focus would be a message to our sheriffs, or the people need to get it out to the sheriff, and then we can give little tidbits, you know, spend 5-10 minutes or whatever it is to teach them one little thing. And then all these things you build up until they have a really good understanding and knowledge. So we could set something like that up, but I think the leadership should get together, all the coordinators, the national coordinators, and discuss that. And if it's thinking something we could do, we'll do it. I'll try to find the time to write some stuff. Maybe other people can write some stuff. But then we need someone to actually make the video. I mean, you know, it gets quite consuming to create the video, then upload it, and you want to perfect it, and so on. So that in itself is a job. And I don't have the time to do that. But
I'm willing to help with that part. I mean, if it's 5 or 10 minutes to put something together, send it to you raw, you do whatever you want with it. I'm willing to do
okay. Well, why don't you talk with Gary about that? Let's see where we go with that, and maybe I'll open up a third YouTube, and we'll open it up under National Liberty Alliance, and we'll see where we can go with this. If we can get something on a weekly basis, like I've seen what you're talking about, where you know if you have a message and it's going out weekly, those things seem to grow after time.
You can get you're doing the newsletter now, so the newsletter could be turned into a video also.
The newsletter is mostly going out to give people the weekly schedule and any new information that's necessary, or if there's an alert or a special meeting for a grand jury or things of that nature. It's not going to be anything lengthy. It's going to be very short. And this way, instead of people getting 5 or 6 or 8 emails a week, they'll only get one, and it'll be all consolidated. So if we can...
We'll do a 3-minute video on current events. Just really
right, well,
anything that's hitting the news, one of us gets up there and speaks to it as to National Liberty Alliance's perspective of it.
I follow like say, a stupid pawn shop. I don't even know what state it's in because I like guns. They've got one guy that talks about boring stuff, another guy that's shooting guns, another guy talks about the laws and the news. Well, what catches me is someone shooting something. I look at that. It's exciting. It's the pepper on it, and it's the spice. I look at that. Then I start looking at their other videos. I'm like, oh, I learned something. Oh, and this is a current event. So if you have, like, a news guy, a funny guy, and then John, you know, those other things can stay kind of behind the scenes, but they're on the channel. And then the exciting, funny stuff or whatever the catchy stuff is, that's all going out each week too. And then the other videos are right there. It'll catch them. I mean, the education, they'll end up clicking on it. Like, where's all this weird stuff coming from? Oh, and then John's talking, they'll click on it, you know, so.
You know,
just an idea.
I did a video. My friend got a tax warrant from New York State. And I took the tax warrant and I started reading it. And you go to the back of it, and they say, you can keep a sewing machine, a Bible, a chair. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know if you've ever read this crap. Who these people think they are? But they're serious. You owe $367 tax. We can come in and take everything you own. You're allowed to keep an encyclopedia, a Webster's dictionary, and your wedding rings or something. So I went through and I made a video on it. Now it was very unprofessional. I got the cam up here on my big stuff chair, and I kept looking up, and it was very unprofessional. But let me tell you something, John. Remember what's his name there, Jim Condit, with that stupid little video he did with the two lamps crooked on the couch. Part of the allure of that was that it wasn't professional. And I think a lot of times you try to go for perfection, and sometimes you should just leave in the people doing a little video, and I think it hits harder when it's not so.
Did we also have people that are videoing live at these when everyone's showing up at the courtroom observers? Didn't I hear some
people
saying?
Yes, we
so
do.
So that stuff right there is hot. I remember right before I found you guys, I was watching over in England. People were yelling and chanting in front of the judge, and I couldn't get enough of it. I was like, they're saying to arrest that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and you could re-upload the videos that you already have on the other channels onto the new National Liberty Alliance channel.
Right. It all needs to point right toward our site, and that's how people will start finding the source.
Hello, Tanner?
Yeah.
Hey, Tanner, this Ollie. I've had the Colorado Facebook page set up for quite a while. Go on Facebook, search National Liberty Alliance Colorado, and help me get that coordinated or synced to the national Facebook page. You know, just
I think I'm going to do. I want to do that because I know there's an Oklahoma one that I don't have control of, and I've tried to contact the person. They share some of our stuff. I don't even know who they are. I don't have any control of it. I'm the state coordinator. I don't even know.
I'm the admin of this Colorado Facebook page, so you know I can do anything you need on that.
Okay, good. Because anything that's out of our control, we can also tell Facebook that's not okay. It's not under our wing, and then we can get all the states back. But if you got yours, then look me up, Tanner Justice, JUSTIS, and send me something. Or even add me, and then whenever I talk to Gary,
let me get my email address real quick.
I'm outside without smoking a cigarette. Oh, I'll
get Facebook page and just contact me through it.
Okay, I'll look up Colorado and
remember Ollie from Colorado. You won't forget that.
Yeah.
And Tanner, you got to get with Gary so that he can set you up with the national so that you can make those connections like with Ollie to the national when you guys figure out how to do that or how.
Right. We can make Facebook videos.
And also
but
discuss the video things with Gary, and we'll try to get some things going. Well, again, we've got to get a committee. One of the things we just recently did or started to do is to get a project manager because we've got so many things going on. Look at all the ideas that have come up in this meeting tonight and a lot of things we know we need to do, and some of them are halfway in and halfway out. Some of them we've started. But, you know, we put someone in charge of something, and then we're off doing this, we're off doing that, and then we look back, and nothing was ever done. So people aren't taking the initiative, and they're not being responsible. So what we decided to do was to do two things. We got a whip which goes around and really just whips people into motion. You know, look, what are you doing? And requiring that they report, because the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, because we have kind of gotten too big, and we have got a lot of things going on. But in order to really keep things going and make sure that things are happening, we realize now we need a project manager, and that's what we're trying to do now, is to organize with a project manager and get everything organized and where people are reporting. You know, we tried to do an additional weekly meeting where we had sort of a board meeting, but that kind of took a lot of time, and I know I'm so busy to find that extra hour, so it's really got to be a fruitful meeting for me to go to that meeting in order to you know, give the account of what's going on and get the reports from everybody else and make sure people are active and doing things. And it just, you know, I just don't have the time to follow up after that, because that's what it requires after that meeting, is to follow up and to make sure that everybody's done what they got to do. So
we got
one coming up with a project manager and also a whip, and hopefully that's going to make the things happening and give a better report, and then the right hand will know what the left hand's doing.
John, that brought up another idea that I had a while back, is there a way to put certain tasks that aren't too delicate on a list with a link that people could just click and volunteer for of their own? That way,
yeah,
you know they're interested.
You know, I was just thinking that, because they have databases where you can have people log in and put their ideas on, and you know, and people can select the jobs that they want to do. And you'll always, every time you log on, you'll be able to see the jobs that are started and how far along they're going, and everyone who's working on them. There's also a site called mindjet.com, and you build up ideas. It's like a tree of ideas, and they just continue growing, but you always see them every time you come to the page, so you can't forget anything that you thought that you thought of in the past that you thought was a good idea to work on. But
right, but even more practical, I mean, that would be a good idea, but even more practical, I'm saying, like, we need this list and put it on there until someone takes it, then take it off the list after someone completes it. I need a list of X,
yeah, we
and
can,
whatever.
Yeah, we can do that with research. Like, there are certain research we need for addresses or names or something,
right,
like that.
And it would just click on it, right, fill it out, send it in, done, check it
and
off
that
the list.
Takes a lot of time away from, like, John should not be doing that, even though he did do that, because he asked for it and asked for it, and nobody gave it, so finally he went out and did it himself. That's
but
the
if it was
point
if, if it was in a database, if it was in a database, everyone would see it. I'm going to look into that. I'll get back to you on that database.
Well, you know,
I'll let you guys
John
take a look at
out,
it.
John hands out plenty of homework, but what happens is, you know, what we're doing here, what John's doing and I'm doing and Gary's doing, ends up being in triage. So we might have a real good idea. We say, well, go ahead and take that and run with it. And then we leave, and then we never get back to it. We even forget.
And this would take care of that problem, because the project would never leave there until it was completed. You know, you would always be able to just look on the page and see everything that's every idea you ever thought of. I mean, you could just write anything frivolous that you might think is a bad idea the next day, and you can get rid of it. But the ones that are good ideas.
What we need to have is we also need to have who thought of it, what their name was, and who said they were going to do it that we can get a hold of. Look at
I'm talking about a commitment to take action. So in other words, like, I need an Excel spreadsheet that says this. I click on it, I fill it out, I send it in, done. If it's not completed, it gets returned back to the link list. That way it's not complicated. You don't have to bug the webmasters. You don't have to worry about. Everybody can come up with an idea, but like with the Facebook, I'm volunteering, or the YouTube, I'm volunteering. So if I'm not willing to do that, it's a great idea.
Okay,
it's
again,
not going to happen.
Again, that's another good idea, and you need to bring that to Gary. And again, Carl's may be able to set something up so that can happen, because that's a great idea to put the workload out there. People go and they grab hold of it, and if it's not accomplished in a certain amount of time, it goes back up there again. Or maybe let two people work on it. What the heck? Let it come in twice. But whatever it is we got to do to get these things, I mean, we need so many things. We need a lot of researchers, and we need people to collect data in different places and different things and different ideas. And, you know, we got a lot of great ideas, but we have to give the workload to someone to go out and get all the information together so then we could take it and make it work. And,
well, Gary called me today.
Tanner, what's your Facebook name?
just Tanner Justice. TannerJustis.
All one word?
No, it's just my name. Yeah, just my name. Now, Gary called me today and said, I'm in emergency mode. I need your sheriff's fax numbers. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do it. I got all this work, whatever. I talked to someone. They said, I can't be on the calls. I can't do all this, but I love just doing data entry. She made 60 phone calls today and got every single fax number from the sheriff. So there's people out there that are hiding that can't be on all the calls and everything. They just check the website, click a link, fill out whatever needs to be done. It doesn't have to be real complicated. And all that National has to do on their end is just put the directions in the link, you know. And then the only last idea that I have that I told to Lawrence was all of our positions should have position emails and phone numbers. That way, if someone defects or changes, all the emails and all the calls and all the voicemails, everything is on that to the next person that takes over position. So it would be national coordinator at nationalliberalliance.org, not the name. And then that way you don't have to have an email for every single person. You just have an email for every single position, and it limits it. And it's also under your control constantly. You can't lose anything unless they maliciously delete it. And then you could probably even control a backup on the site. So that way there's only one contact. Like, I wanted to call Gary, but he had to take a hiatus, but now his information's not on there, right? Or I had one number. So if it just had his position, then whoever is taking in, even as a temporary, can always get those emails. They can pick up right where someone left off. Someone could take it over if there's a problem. And you can also monitor something secretly. If you think that they're communicating wrong with the email, you can see it in the background. And then you can kick them right off of it and authorize someone else onto it immediately. So that's the only other idea I had.
Hey, John, this is Steve. I'm with the IRC. I have I have a case I've had since July, and I've talked to you about it already. It's about the young lady who has a son whose father's in France and getting ready to take his son, and CPS has a passport for him. I've got all the information that you asked for. I sent it over to Don, and it's been sitting for over a week. I've been getting calls from the mother. She's panicking, don't know what to do, and we have all the information, and it's went down the rabbit hole, and I haven't heard anything yet from anyone, and I can't tell her anything.
Well,
I don't,
I'll tell you again, here is something where people need to be trained, and training has taken longer than we anticipated. I mean, obviously, you know, we got 150 cases. Obviously, I can't sit down and write all those 150 cases and then print them out and send them, mail them, and so on and so forth. And there are cases that we need to flag to put up in front. And we have about five of them right now that have been flagged to go up front. But even those are starting to run behind. And again, it's a matter of training people. You know, we can't put paperwork into the court to do what we want to do, and it doesn't work, it's incorrect, or whatever the case may be. And then we have to follow up on it and track it. So there's a lot of work involved here, and it takes a lot of time. And
yeah.
And so, you know, I remember the case that you're talking to me about, and, you know, what the paperwork should have went into intake, and then Daniel, who just picked up on intake, he's a new guy working the intake for us, and he would have then eventually given you a call and gone through your paperwork as long as everything is in order, and we do have
a
process of doing that. But
I've got everything in, and no one's contacted me yet. And I heard you talk about people who have been paired up. I've been on the teams for a couple of months, and I haven't heard anybody talk about pairing up with anyone. I talked to Donald,
That's because we're doing it now. We're talking about it now, and we're trying to do it now. And look, there is a special meeting coming up with a select few people in the next day or so, and for the sole purpose of discussing the details, pairing up, and also being divvied out the necessary people that they will be training underneath them. And again, like I say, that's got to grow exponentially. But again, we got 150 cases. We have to do triage in 150 cases. Most of the cases, and I'd say probably about 80 cases or 60 cases, are in there. We have insufficient information. The information was not collected right. And all of those cases have to be redone all over, or we have to kind of piece together what we do have and then call up for, well, we need this piece of information or that piece of information. Now, to do that, again, we don't have the, you know, the we're not prepared to do that yet, but yet we have to do it. And that's why we pulled on a project manager to help to organize this thing and to actually get the work going, because I can't spend all of my time, neither can Gerard and Gary spend all of their, all of our time working there, and everything else that we're doing with National Liberty Alliance, which is the spearhead stuff, is being left aside. But this stuff is just as important, because not only is it helping people and getting people out of trouble, saving their homes, getting them out of jail, preventing them from going to jail, saving their children, all those good things that make us feel a lot better, because I felt terrible over the years not being able to do anything for a lot of people. And yet now we got that opportunity to do something for people, and at the same time, it leverages National Liberty Alliance, particularly the people through the grand juries, in order to get more focused and more involved in the, well, more situated in the court, get a footing in the court. Because every time we do a case, it gives us a better footing in the court. And every time we do a case, we become more and more powerful, more and more known, more and more realized, and more feared. And that's, of course, what we need to be doing. And that's what's going to catapult us into success. But again, we have growing pains. We have, one of the big problems we have is we do have some people who volunteer, but then they don't have the skills. They don't have the management skills. They don't have the discipline. And some people, you know, they lack even, you know, patience. You know, and this is, patience is a big part of this whole thing. You know, when someone gets a little disturbed with someone on the phone and they say something they shouldn't have said, and it just doesn't work well. You know, we have to be patient and we have to do what we have to do. But again, we lack a lot of experience, yet we do have a lot of people there with experience, and we don't know who they are, and then yet we don't know how much time they can give us, and this is, these are the things we need to find out. We got to marry the person with the job, and I like this idea that was brought up concerning, you know, by Tanner, who brought up the point that we can kind of set up a place where a workload could be divvied out to people, and people can take the work, and if they don't complete it, someone else can pick up on it. And this is something we definitely need to initiate. But again, until we get better organized and get the people to, you know, follow up and complete the task that they say they're going to complete, that's a big plague we have. People say they're going to do something, and when it's time to come to reach out for the thing so we can build upon it, it's not done. It's not there. Or we can't find the person. And then finally they get back to us, oh, yeah, I got part of it done, but I didn't get finished, I got caught. But they should have told us they got lost, and we would have got them help, or we would have reset our plan so that we'll put that off for another week, and we'll do this instead. Meanwhile, we waste a lot of time that way. We spin a lot of wheels.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
understand.
We're suffering from growing, and we need to organize better. And
well, John, I guess we could, I guess we could put a due date on those tasks. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, absolutely.
In our last conversation, you said CPS. In our last conversation, you said CPS doesn't have to worry about dockets. You can go forward without that.
That's
is that correct?
Correct. They can go forward without dockets. Yes.
Okay. Because a lot
as
of
as long as they have all the information on the intake, in order for us to notify the people and go through the process. You see, the dockets serve for a couple of major reasons. Number one, it gives us all the players. We have the judge's name, the address, the court name. We have the prosecutor. We got everything in there. So, you know, they can take the docket and put the information right onto the intake, and they don't have to search it out. Okay, so the docket helps there. The other thing the docket helps with is that if there was an indictment or a police report or something like that, some kind of an exhibit that the state actually does have, well, then that would be listed in the docket and usually attached to the docket. And those are the things we need. And that's why the docket is important. But we know with CPS, they just won't give it up. Not CPS, right. But family courts. They just won't give it up. And so, you know what? We can go forward without it, providing that the people can get the list of all the players in the court, all of the lawyers involved. Look, if you got two children involved, then each one of those children have a lawyer, okay?
Okay.
And then the state has another lawyer. And it just goes on and on and on. And you got 4, 5, 6, 7 lawyers. Like I said, one CPS case we have has 28 people in the court. 28 of them, most of them are lawyers, and CPS workers, and judges, and all of these people. You know, that's a big case in the sense of notifying all 28 people.
We have all the players in the intake information, so we're ready to go. We just need to have to go forward. I mean, we're just sitting here.
I'm trying. I'd like to say, you know, give a call to Nikki and get make sure you get the case to Nikki for right now. You know, right now, Daniel, the new guy Daniel, is working on this, but, you know, he can't keep up on all of it because we have all the past cases, really, Nikki is trying to put together. And so, you know, get a hold of her and get the case to her. And if you, you know, get Gary to get a hold of Gary or get a hold of Jan or someone that can find Nikki for you if you can't.
When we had all our RIC meetings, these people you're talking about never show up. So I don't know who you're talking about. They haven't been to none of the meetings.
Well, because they weren't part of it then. We got new people in here.
Last week? They weren't part of it last week?
I'm sorry?
They weren't part of it last week?
Well,
they
the last week meeting was unauthorized, and I was a little upset that meeting took place because it shouldn't have taken
before?
Place. I told them not to take it place. The next meeting needs to be at night. That's when they have to have the meeting. And it has to be at 9 p.m., reason being you have California people getting off of work. You know, you have a meeting and you have 12 people or 13 people, and it's the same people. Meanwhile, you've got 80 people. They don't even know about the meeting, or it's 10 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday morning, and most people are at work. So that wasn't working. And so we moved that now to the evening so that the meetings will still be in the evenings. Matter of fact, I'll probably be at the next meeting to talk about affidavits. But the people have got to learn at the meetings and not go off on different things that doesn't apply to what they're doing. And that's a major problem at all meetings. We find ourselves, and I talk to myself first, we find ourselves guilty of going off on things that doesn't apply to what we're doing.
All right. So Nathan's going to be heading the meeting, or because Donald can't make it, he's working nights.
Right. Yeah, Donald went to like a 7-day work week and he's doing double shifts. So he's just kind of out of the picture for a while. We had a meeting with him today. I didn't, but others did. And him and Nathan, and Nathan's going to take the lead on this now, and he's going to be pushing the meetings into the evening, and he's going to become, you know, again, Donald hasn't been able to put the time in it lately. So hopefully, and again, we got a project manager, and the focus of the project manager will be on the IRC, particularly first and foremost. But as we can tell from the meeting tonight, you know, we've got also problems in media. We've got problems everywhere. And again, it's growing pains and right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing. If we don't get reports, we don't know what's happening. So when people ask questions, we can't give an answer. Or someone complains because they didn't get attention to something and didn't get done. Well, we didn't know about it. How are we going to know that? You know, we can't know it all. But we have to be briefed, and there has to be someone accountable. And there's plenty. We got six, I think it's six national leaders. So between them, they should be on top of things. But in order for them to be on top of things, they have to have a report. They have to know what's going on. They have to know where to spend their time or where the problems are, where the fire needs to be put out, you know?
Right.
And so we're working that out. And again, we're only going to accomplish this when people with skills and without skills step up and put their time into it, you know?
So do we have an established time and date for the next IRC meeting?
Gary or Nathan? Is Nathan here? I heard Nathan earlier.
I don't know. They're probably muted making eggs. Listen, just real quick.
I don't know, but it'll the message will go out, but I wish I knew. I'm not sure. Oh, Jen. Okay. Jen, are you here? Hold on a minute. Jen.
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
What is the district meetings? Is that Wednesday or Tuesday?
The districts are Wednesday.
Okay. Then that meeting should be Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be Tuesday.
Huh? What was that?
It'll be Tuesday.
Yeah, IRC will be Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's when it'll be. It'll be in the IRC room. They have a room with their own access codes and stuff, and that's the room it'll be in. And like I said, it'll be 9 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
Can you repeat the day again? I'm sorry.
9 p.m. Tuesday, Eastern Time.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
John, I wanted to share a website with you because this is task management, which is it does just about everything a project manager would do, except, and you would have full control of everyone coming in into this. Just something for you to look at when you got a minute. It's PRODUCTEEV.com. PRODUCTEEV.com.
Productweb.com. Okay, it's looking for it.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's product EV.
Right, I got PRODUCTEEV.com.
No, double E. Sorry, that was EE.
EE, not V.
Yeah, EEV.
EEV.com. Okay, let's try that.
Now, this is similar to the product. This one is a paid product. I'm gonna find the one I was thinking of because I used it with a group of investors that I was working with, and it was a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that one's not connecting. PRODUCTEEV.com. V is in
Victor. No W. I said double E, so I should have said
double E. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Let's try that. Okay, task management software for teams. Okay.
Yeah, save that and look at it, you know, when you got time. But the other one I want to share with you is mindjet.com.
Okay.
This is gonna, I'm telling
that.
You, this is
spell
all
that.
Worth
spell it.
Mindjet.
MIND
JET.com.
JET.com. Okay.
Yes. Now that one only has a 30-day trial. And I use that. It was a wonderful thing. I used it for years. I haven't used it in a few years. But there's another one called xmind.net, which is free. It's open source. That one is supposed to be just as good or better, and it's free, lifetime for free,
X-mind,
unless you move up.
Xmind, M-I-N-D.
.net.
.net. All right.
Yeah, these are so worth looking into. I'm telling you, they will make life so much easier because everything you think of, you can put down here, and it branches out as into trees where you continue to grow on an idea, and nothing gets lost ever. I mean,
all right. Well, what we'll do is I'm looking at XMind. It does look pretty intense.
Yeah, it is.
I passed it all over to Gary's Skype here, and he'll pass it to our new project manager, and we'll take a look to see what we can implement on this. But again, I like this idea of creating a place where we put, you know, particularly we need research done, and we put what kind of research we need doing up on a page where people can go and take a workload and do it and then bring it, you know, to, you know, the individual that will be handling monitoring that particular page. And that would be huge. That's a really great idea.
And I have a suggestion for that page. Somewhere you could, I don't know how much you can edit it, but like on the bottom, you can put our successes and where people are pulling work and go, thanks to you completing this work, here's the latest successes that National Integrity Alliance has had. Now, that one fellow that wanted to know where to send people and what to do, look at, they go there anytime they want something to do. Oh, I gotta get this list of sheriffs. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. But meanwhile, you've got some kind of a banner down there that changes, that gives you know, a little synopsis of our successes and milestones because the people have stepped up and done the work, and we were able to go into the next step.
You could have a special thanks page that's right linked on that shows as soon as someone completes it, it says thanks to member whatever their member name is, this has been completed, and then that way, you know, people.
So now you have a place to send people that want to know what can I do. Well, go over there.
And it's an incentive for people, you know, because, you know, to get the recognition for the work they're doing is, you know, a lot of people, everybody appreciates that, right?
Yeah, right.
Being a part of.
Right.
Okay, it looks like Gary's left the, oh, no, Gary, you still here? Yeah, I see him still here. Well, I don't see him on the phone.
I was going to ask if Gary could talk a couple minutes tonight.
Who's leading this meeting? I thought Gary was leading this meeting.
He was, but I think he gave me a message that said he had to leave. Let me see. He kind of...
Okay, well, it's in your hands now, too, because I got to leave, too.
Please take over for me. I got to go. That's Gary.
Okay. right, well, hey, Gerard, P.S., please take over for me because I got to go.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, guys, real quick, is there anybody besides Gary I could talk to about getting on that Facebook page?
No, Gary's got all the information.
Talk to Gary.
Yeah, because I gave him the access codes to our national page, and I also gave him – we have another guy who set up a page also for National Liberty Alliance a long time ago, and I connected him with that guy, and we got the access, and Gary was made a manager on that or whatever they call that, an admin.
Yeah.
And so he's got the codes to all that stuff, and he was working on creating things. And again, we are trying to develop groups of people that will take these things by the horn, so to speak, and move with them. We need to create these things, bring the ideas that people have together, create them, and then the people have to run them. People have to take charge. And this is what we're trying to get the people to do. They need to take charge. But we also need to stay focused and stay with the National Liberty Alliance plan. And just let's get this job done. So, but anyway, I'm going to bail out of here. Gerard, I guess you can run it for as long as you want to go, whoever else is on. I know Jan is still here, too. So, but I got to go. So good night, everybody.
Yep.
Hello, Tanner.
Yes.
Hey, Tanner.
Have a good night.
One last thing. I've also been working on a Colorado website. It's easy to remember, nlaco.co, nlaco.co. And I've done a lot of work on this. I use Dreamweaver. I do websites, but take a look at that. Give me some ideas. Give me some ideas on that.
Can you take down my email and send me some links?
Yes.
It's TANNERJUSTIS, and you have to do @gmail.com. It's different than my website email because AOL doesn't get attachments.
That's JUSTIS.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, got it.
@gmail. I make it easy for the NSA to follow me.
And
yeah.
Also on Facebook, I'm Ollie Smith.
Send me your friend request, and I'll link up with you. And as soon as I get everything going, then we'll figure out who has what pages and try to link it up.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey Tanner, I've got Tanner Justice up here on Facebook too. Which one is it? What's the photo look like?
Probably it looks like a green background with some words on it.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
TANNERJUSTIS, or you can, I hate to get out my phone number, I don't know who's on the call, but it's on the website. I can give you my phone number, you can look it up that way, I think.
JUSTIS, right?
That's it, Edmond, Oklahoma.
Tanner Justice. Oh, I'm not, Tanner, maybe it'll show, let's see. I'm not seeing it. I don't know why. Stupid.
Send me. Do you want to send me an email with yours on there, and then I'll look on that and see, and then find you.
Max, this is Lori. I can get it to you.
Oh, there it is. It says plumber.
Yeah.
Plumber.
That's my secret identity.
Oh, okay. All right, and then it's got. I'd rather be exposed, okay, to inconvenience attending to much liberty. Okay, got it. All right, I'm going to send you I'll add you here for add a friend thing.
Who is this and where are you from? Sorry.
This is Max Brewster from Colorado.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
All right.
Yeah, send it to me. I'll link up with you.
All right. And mine's got a picture of me and a guy that looks like Thomas Jefferson in front of my hot rod, so you'll see it.
There you go. Are you dealing with, does Colorado have a Facebook page?
Just what Ollie's done.
Okay. Well, you might send me that and a message so that I can start getting track.
Ollie will send that to you. I think he's got your.
Oh, he's from Colorado, too. Okay. I got you.
Ollie's from Colorado, too.
Me and Mac, we've met. We're pretty good buddies.
Did you say hot rod? What kind of hot rod?
Well,
I have a 71 Vega. It goes 9 seconds in a quarter mile.
It's a 1926 Model T wood panel truck, and it's got a big We the People on the side.
Hey, Max.
You know what? Actually, I've seen it. That's right. Max, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I saw it, but I saw it somewhere.
Hey, Max, short message. I got a waiver on that, but they gave me a free analysis. I went down today, and the engine light was on. The guy says, your oxygen intake sensor was unplugged. He plugged it in. It passed the test.
Oh, really? How'd that get unplugged? Because that's down on
the... I don't know. Maybe we did. I don't know. But anyway, it's going. It's good to go.
All right. Well, hey, Ollie.
Yeah.
I'm with you on what you were saying before. I'm doing the same thing in Oklahoma because I lost a lot of following, but I've got a nightmare case I'm dealing with and dealing with the principles of how not to be vengeful and all that. So I'm doing my habeas corpus personally. I just went ahead and bit the bullet and joined the IRC and started doing the listening to how to do it. My first case is going to be mine, and then I'll help others. But that's exactly what I want to do is I want to set an example, not only for the county that I'm dealing with so that the other counties know what's coming, but also so that I can show people, hey, this isn't just talking. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
But I have to do it because there's no one else here.
That's my idea. Like we could get a meeting with getting Max and Lori up to the sheriff's office, but it's all on paper now. If we had a habeas corpus going, then, hey, looky, sheriff, we're going. You know.
Right, but what I'm saying is I'm joining it because I talked to some different people. Some of them defected. Some of them I had to kind of throw some warnings at the pike what they were talking about. And finally, I just said, you know what, I better just do it myself.
Yeah.
And you know, that's really the only way at this stage. You know, before all these committees, that's what we were learning was listening to Bill Thornton and trying to figure out how to do it. And then the committees came in. So I'm going to pick up the ball where I left off and just keep going. I listened to all those videos before they were in the civics course. And now I don't feel as out there on my own. I'll do it with the committee. John's going to perfect it, send it back, and then it'll be good to go. Whatever the results may be, they're results that will have affected somebody. And I can say to people, look, this is what we're doing. If you want to be a part of it, this is how you do it, you know. I'm with you on that, but I'm doing it myself. So if there's going to have that other call, I'd get on there. Yeah.
And, Tanner, I can help with some video stuff here and there. I actually have about a 10-minute video about what NLA's doing you might want to check out.
If you guys got my email, just send it to me and I'll click it. You know what I mean? And then
Yeah, my YouTube channel is V8 Freedom, so...
Yeah, can you send that to me with a link on an email or something, or shoot it on a text?
I'll do that. Yeah, I'll send that to you, and then you'll be able to, it's kind of a quick video. Anyone can show it. It explains what we're doing.
Right.
That's where I saw
your
car.
Yeah, okay.
That's where I saw your car, on your YouTube.
The thing about having an NLA YouTube is that you don't get other people's stuff. Like, they won't be looking at my kids' videos that I have on there. If I put it on the NLA one, it's going to stay within the subject, you know, and then that way we don't get personalities before principles.
Right.
You know, that's just me, and I know that if everything on the web points to one direction, I mean, that's what the people that make a lot of money do. They point everything to their brand, and you can't go out of that. You can't get away from it. You can't copy it. It goes straight to the source. That way you can't mess up. So, and then also they can change it. If we find something's wrong, we can go back and erase it, you know, and correct it. So, anyways.
Okay. Do we have any other subject?
No, I just wanted to add to what Tanner was just saying. With keywords and meta tags, you can piggyback on others' success on YouTube, for example. I know that's worked for me in the past, but...
Well, if you know how to do meta tags, I learned about some of that stuff, but I don't know about... You just put it down in the description? Is that how it picked up on YouTube?
Yeah, there's two sections. One section where you actually have to write a script that, like a paragraph that has to make sense, and you can add the meta tags into that script, and then you have an actual place for keywords where you add individual words that would attract.
Can you write that script and put meta tags in there where I can, and then email it to me where I can cut and paste it into all the videos?
Mm-hmm. I can do an example of it because it might be a little different for different videos. And we can add.
It could be just blanketed everything Liberty that you can think of, and make one master one, and then that way, no matter what they're looking at,
absolutely.
And I'll just copy and paste it. We don't have to customize it. It's too much time, you know.
I don't know which ones.
Exactly. That's what we want to do, and then we can grow on it as we go.
You can send me an updated one, and from every video on that point on, I'll copy and paste that one into the meta tags, and then. If you're willing to do that, then I can just slap it in there, and I don't have to.
I don't have
to reinvent it. Yeah, that would be real easy. I'm all about easiness.
Well, I've been working in the media committee. I was working in the media committee with Sheila. And
I'm in too much stuff, so I'm willing to do this, and you can call me whatever committee. But you know, that way, if I may not be able to make the calls, but if I have to, I will. But if we can all work, you know, if you guys got an idea, I'll make it to where I can copy and paste it. I can run with it, you know what I mean? Or someone else can do it if I can't. It's that easy, you know?
Right. Okay. Definitely, we'll do. I got your email.
Okay. Who's got the 9-second Vega?
Oh, that's me, New York Charles.
Can you send me a Facebook request?
What's your Facebook?
It's Max, M-A-X, Brewster, B-R-E-W-S-T-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll
see. Gerard, do you have anything else? This is Tanner from Oklahoma.
No, I'm just kind of waiting for everybody to bring up their stuff. I don't have anything myself.
Gerard, I wanted to share another link for the mailings. I don't know if you've heard of Click2Mail, the number 2, click2mail.com. It's actually the United States Postal Service, but what you do is you download one time whatever you want to mail out. They print it and put it in an envelope for you and stamp it and mail it out for you, and you save money doing this. I know we a few months back did a 5,000 mailing. And you could do up to 10 pages, but you can make them two-sided, so it's actually 20 pages. And it was about $5,000, but I think that's a little less expensive than the last mailing that we were talking about doing, or the next mailing that we're talking about doing.
We can look into that and crunch the numbers. I know we crunched lots of numbers on the last thing we did, you know.
Yeah, well, the beauty of it is, like I said, you download one time what you're going to send out, and then you download the CVS list of all the unique addresses, and and that's it. You hit click, you pay, and you click send, and it does it all for you. And I know they have an option to do standard mailing, which is usually several $100 less, but I know there's some conditions on that. I'm not sure, but that's something we can look into. But click2mail.com, because I know John said he sent those links over to Gary. Maybe you can send that over to Gary. I used to be on Skype. I haven't used Skype for a while, but I know there's a few alternatives. I was just having problems with it. But I got to get back on.
Yeah, no, we it's really good for this type of stuff because it's so easy to drag and drop stuff. It's practically instantaneous. And it's nice to be able to have an impromptu meeting with 5 or 6 people. It doesn't cost us anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. It was great when I was working with virtual assistants that out of the country, and it was really easy to communicate and send over big files
share screens. It's very versatile. It's a great program. I mean, it does have its problem. It screws up, you know, up runs slow, but look at it, whatever problems it has, its benefits certainly outweigh it. I've been on it for, I don't know, a couple, 3 years now, and I even went ahead and bought the Skype number so I can dial any phone from my Skype. And I also, if you call me on that number and I don't pick up, first it rings on my
forward.
Skype, and then it rolls it into my cell phone.
Yeah, so, you know, I had handy. And I had these numbers, local numbers, for these virtual assistants that were out of the country, and they could call, and it would look like they were calling from locally.
That's right.
So that was a benefit.
A whole panel of numbers you can pick. They're local or whatever you want.
Right. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I ended up going with Linux just to go open source to get away from the whole Windows thing, and it's been awesome. My computer's like a new computer. Everything works beautiful, but I have to replace certain programs, and Skype was one of them. They do have some open source options, but I just haven't. I kind of changed my the way I do things a little bit.
Right.
But
I'm on a Bluetooth as well.
You're on a Bluetooth?
Yeah.
Got that high tech going.
I'm a Linux guy.
Linux is great. Yeah. And for anybody who's having issues out there with their computers, I mean, just download your data and replace that operating system. It's like the best thing I ever did. I have a dual boot on one computer, but the other one I just completely went because I just tested it out for a while. Dual booting, keeping Windows. I actually still have the Windows available, but I haven't logged onto it in about 3 months, 4 months maybe. And my other computer and laptops are all Linux now. And it's just as easy as going to linux.com and downloading the latest operating system. It just replaces everything on your computer. You just want to save whatever.
I'm getting so I hate Windows. I really do hate them.
Yeah.
I mean, now they want to move to this Windows 10 thing. That's a big fiasco.
Oh, you don't want that because they can...
Yeah, it's a spy program.
They can turn on your camera, your microphone, anything, anytime they want.
I think they can do it anyway, but that's besides the point.
You can opt out, but it's complicated as usual. So.
No, I think it's built into the computers now since Windows 8. But if you want to learn more about that, go to collegeintheclouds.org. There's a lot of teaching there on how to switch over to Linux if you want to do a dual boot. But if you want to do a straight, just replace Windows on your computer, it literally, I mean, you could have a junk computer. As long as it turns on, it could be like the slowest turtle computer. And you put in this new system, and you got this high-speed new high-tech computer again. It's just amazing. I couldn't believe I had three laptops sitting on the side that I replaced over the years that I made brand new again. Literally, better than they were when they were new.
No kidding.
On that Linux, I tried it years ago, and at the time I was using dual video. I had trouble getting drivers. How's that now for late drivers?
Well, they've come a long way in the last year, Linux.
To make videos?
You can make videos. You can go to all the websites. Everything's the same, you know. You can use all the browsers. I use Firefox, but you can use Chrome if you want. I even use Gmail, but the software does not slow down. That's the thing. I mean, it's made from it's open source, so there's no screwing it up. People, if you go to the chat, if you looked at the chat rooms, you would see, I mean, they're constantly, if anybody tries to get anything passed that is not good, they destroy that person. I mean, and these are hackers, so you don't want to play with these guys.
What I meant was hardware drivers for video boards and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like common law for the internet, but they keep everybody in line.
I had some issues with video drivers, so I got it figured out. But I can. I have this program called KDEN Live that does pretty good video editing, so it works really well.
Yeah, there's one called X Normal. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. Yeah, XNormal.com.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, you might want to check them out. They have they have a lot of cartoon stuff, but you can do straight they have a lot of templates, you know, that preset, so it makes life a little easier. But check them out.
Look, this whole conversation proves a point that we have to marry the expertise we have to the job, and that's what we've kind of fell down. We haven't done because we haven't really investigated like people that know how to do things and actually plugged them into the places where they need to be. And so that's what's happening, like with this call. This is very productive because, like John says, look, you need a few good men. If you can get people with skills and put them where they need to be, then that helps carry the rest of this thing. So it was a good call tonight. I think we hit on a lot of good stuff. Now let's see if we can get it all implemented, you know. I think we will, because I think you had a lot of good tools there as far as keeping track of stuff. That's the biggest thing. You know, a lot of stuff fell into that hole because there's so much to do. And even when you get a good idea and John gives homework out, if you don't write that person's name down and then you don't go back, you never remember to go back and ask them what they were doing, and they didn't hear from you, and pretty soon it's lost into cyberspace, you know? And that's happened a couple of times. So I think we're going to do a lot better because we're going to have some redundant people, you know, redundancy and dovetailing where they go, hey, were you working on that thing? I could have used some of that, you know what I mean? Where we can dovetail certain things that we're doing with different departments because they need the same material. It's gotta happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and that's what we got to make sure. And that'll make us run better because at that point, we're depending on each other. We're watching each other. We're helping each other.
Yeah. And, you know that the X mind I was talking about earlier is like a personal, like, brain management. And I recommend that for everyone on the line, xmind.net. When you log into there, you just start putting ideas up. And like I said, it keeps them up right in your face every time you log in, and it lets you build on them. So you guys should definitely check that out.
xmind.net?
Yep. It's totally free. It's open source. And you should definitely try it, I'll tell you.
How many times do you wake up in the morning or in the middle of the night, like 3 in the morning,
you have an idea?
You got this epiphany. It's like, holy crap, I get it. And if you don't get up and write it down,
gone.
I don't understand how it could be so gone.
I've had dreams of standing in the courtroom with tons of people, the sheriff, more than one sheriff, standing in front, militia's way out in the back, just making sure things stay quiet, and business is being conducted. And I know that's coming. I know that's on the verge of happening. So
yeah.
I'm gonna keep dreaming that until it becomes a reality. And by the way, Tanner, I think it was Tanner. I said X Normal. It's Extra Normal. It's a movie maker called Extra Normal without the E. So
okay.
Yeah, Extra Normal without the E.com.
All right. Hey, Gerard, I got a good story for you.
Yeah?
I had a miniature dachshund for years and years, and he was a hunt dog, but he really liked fishing better. Okay, I'd be sitting there, and I'd say, hey, Charlie, let's go fishing. He'd open up one eyeball and look over and see if I had any boots on. If I didn't have any boots on, he'd roll back over and go to sleep. Now, the minute I put my boots on, he was at the door ready to go. Well, that's the same way I've been with the National Liberty Alliance. If when I see some boots on the ground, I'll put my boots on. I'm ready to go. Oh, my God.
Tell me the name of that site again. What was it, Mind?
Yeah, X-Mind.
Oh, X-Mind, like X as in X-Mind.
Yeah, just XMIND.net.
Okay, .net. Very good.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
well,
I got to get back.
Line, that's good. Maybe I'll get my boots on the ground with it. I'll be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just look at, we got so much stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
There's one resource we haven't talked about. One of the most productive people we have is the state coordinator in New Hampshire, Richie Merritt.
Yeah.
And his Inform America stuff. He puts that stuff out almost daily. And some of it's already been made into YouTube stuff.
Well, actually, yes. That's what I was talking about, but I couldn't remember. I had a brain fart that it was Rich Merritt. He made some wonderful videos.
Yep.
Really good. Yeah. Those are under the committee tab in the media campaign.
Okay, so we need to talk to Gary, you guys that are going to do the Facebook. We need to pull them out. I mean, we need to copy them and put them on Facebook, because that's the problem. You know, that Facebook is where you go viral.
Yeah,
that's where you get your nationwide attention, and that's where we're going to get our younger people. We need younger people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how old everybody on this call is, but I know, you know, between me and some of the other guys, we're starting to get long in the tooth. I hate to admit it, but you know, we need some young blood here.
And then we need to go after Instagram, because then a lot of the younger college age and younger are actually switching over from Facebook to Instagram because all their parents are on Facebook and they think it's for the older folks. But the younger crowd is moving over to Instagram, I've noticed.
Well, we need them. We need to educate them, because we can't. They're the next ones to take the torch here, you know. Hopefully we got a torch to hand them, you know. Look at your dreams. You must be old, because it says in the Bible, your young people and your old people will dream dreams in the time of the end. I know. None of us are young here, really young. Anyway, we're not children.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Facebook has what, 990. Million people on it now, I think it is. That's almost a billion, yeah. It's definitely an audience.
Look, we got plenty of examples of the power of Facebook. I mean, we've seen that. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best way to get something out, you know, on the street. I know now they got Twitter and all. I don't even know what Twitter. I barely know what Facebook is, much less Twitter. But there was that soldier that returned home, and he put something on. I don't know if he put it on Facebook, on the internet. He put some kind of poem or something, and the next thing you know, they arrested him. Well, his mother went all over Facebook, and they took him away under the Patriot Act. Wouldn't tell her where he was or when he was. You know, they indefinite detention they gave him.
Wow.
Well, he was back home in a week.
The moment they think that's going back to what we were talking about earlier. The moment they realize that enough people are coming forward and it's going to become a big issue, they back out of the fight. And we got to, you know, I mean, that's great that we get that victim off the hook, but we got to figure out a way to keep them in the fight and take it, you know, to that next level, you know, to the common law level, to the common law argument.
Well, they only operate in the dark. That's how they work. They work best in the dark, behind closed doors. You know, most of the time, most of what they do, they won't even go through the whole process of a trial. They don't want to. They want to do a backroom deal. I mean, people in jail on plea bargains in the back room. It never gets in front of a jury. They just scare the crap out of you and tell you how they're going to ruin you and take 6 months or a year, and otherwise you're going to end up, you know, losing
everything.
That's
what I'm saying. As soon as we get someone off the hook, that's the time to go back and hit them again, because double jeopardy? What is it called? Not double jeopardy.
Yeah, right. They can't come back. That's true.
Right. So, but you can come back at them if they kept you in prison for any amount of time. Like Kim Davis, for example, she spent 4.5 days in there. So she can sue them. She can make a big case about a federal case.
Well, you know what they're not saying in the Kim Davis case, and of course it's because we have a managed news media. The fact of the matter is That judge was operating on an unconstitutional ruling by the Supreme Court. I mean, I would use Scalia's and the other three judges' words about what their ruling was and how bad it was, and that's what I would throw back in their faces. And her state constitution,
right?
She was obeying because they didn't change their state constitution.
Exactly.
Look at this. This shows you how ridiculous that court is. The fact that they think they can change a fundamental right like that's going to require every state in the United States to change their constitution. They don't have that kind of power. That's not how you change the constitution. And you know, you can't change the constitution when it comes to an inalienable right. You can't say, We had a 2/3 vote, and we did this, and we approved that murder's okay now, because that goes against the natural law. So there's
right.
certain things that you can't change. And really, technically, if you read all the law books and stuff, whenever they change the Constitution, it can never be to give you less rights. It can only be to enhance them. Because if they're taking rights away, what the hell are they doing? You know what I mean? Governments
right.
are instituted by men to protect their rights, to protect the weak from the strong, to protect their unalienable rights, right? So if they're going to go in and they're going to alter the Constitution, which they never do, they just ignore it, they pretend like they, you know what I mean? But if they were actually going to alter it, they can only alter it in a fashion that would give us more rights, not less rights. They have to define something better for the people, more protection for the people, you know?
Or, you know, I've gotten some big knockdown, drag-out fights on Facebook about that case, but I'm halfway through the civics course, and I'll tell you what, just from what I know from that, I can nail them to the wall. That is so wrong. That is so wrong.
It's very easy once you learn the fundamental principles to stay on solid ground.
Yes.
Once you have them in your breast and you can articulate them, nobody can knock you off. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because at some point they have to say, well, we don't believe in that. We don't believe in the Constitution. We don't believe in God. You see, they're not willing to go there. They get in a horn dilemma where they're actually going to blatantly deny your inalienable rights. Well, look it. If they're at the point that they're going to do that, then what they're doing is they're declaring war on the people. At that point, it's time to initiate the militia, right?
Yeah.
So they're not willing to do that.
Yeah,
this whole business of taking over America has been gradual subversion, and they steamroll, and they just ignore. And they dumb down so that we don't know the process of holding their feet to the fire. You see, what we're giving the people back is that process that you can use to hold their feet to the fire. Look, there isn't a lawyer out there that's going to do it because he's a bar member, and the judges are bar members, and they pull him in the back room and they tell him don't go there, and he can't go. He can't do it.
On the Davis case, this is Lori from Colorado.
Yep.
The ones that were trying to give her all that trouble had the information all printed out. They tried to find a judge that would do it, and everyone was either out of their offices or they were gone for the weekend for the time that they were going to do that. So the judge that actually did this order simply requested that she spend some time in jail to cool off. There was no order made or anything like this. This is really, the media has been blowing this up. It's been one disaster.
So in other words, there was no arrest warrant.
No.
So it was illegal.
It was totally illegal.
So look, if we weren't so bogged down, the first thing we should have done was
right.
indict that judge.
Oh, exactly.
We should have indicted him. We should have said, yeah, guess what, buddy?
I've been
and
in touch.
Who
were, I've
and who put her in the jail?
No.
I've been in touch with her attorney,
yeah,
and
it,
he just
even,
gave me some an outline.
He still has to make an arrest warrant. In order to get her for contempt of court, she's got to go turn herself into the police, or they got to pick her up. Somebody has to arrest her.
But there's no
I think
contempt
it was while she was
yet.
In court. While she was in court, right? Didn't that happen while she was in court?
No, and there was...
That's what John's talking about. If it happened while she was in court, the bailiff should have said, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I can't carry out that illegal order.
Right, and right. No one would stand up. They just followed along.
Until the people were there, and then she was released.
Right, right. Nothing was done until after that. The
This sounds like almost a no-brainer case for us, though.
It's a disaster. Yep, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, but you know what? They're vicious with this business.
Look at the maliciousness that they're causing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'll just get more information, and I'll try to get it to you guys.
Yeah, it would be nice to be able to take on some of that. And you know what? As the unified common law grand jury, we don't even need her permission. We could go over there. We can indict that judge of our own volition. We don't need anybody to give us permission.
Okay, I'll get the information and get it to you.
They can't tell us we don't have standing. We're talking about crimes committed in all, this is a federal court, too.
Right.
That's the Fed encroaching on the state sovereignty,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh yeah, there was no court order issued. There was a request.
What the hell's a request?
I don't know. I will get that information to you.
It's a new statute we don't know about yet.
Yeah. And all of us,
I would tell the guy I request that you kiss my butt.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That's like when they tell us, oh, well, you know, common law, it's obsolete. What the hell does obsolete mean?
Right.
Huh?
Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, I got a car. It's obsolete, but I'm still running the dang thing. You know what I mean? It still works.
Right.
They're not telling us it's illegal. Mm-hmm. They're not or unlawful. Oh, that's obsolete. Well, who decides what's obsolete, you know?
Yeah. You know, Fourth Branch, that's the username on the NLA site, he commented on Kim Davis's case, and he was very detailed in his analysis of the feds and the unconstitutionality of their actions in that situation. So if you guys want to look at that, just look up the Kim Davis. It's on, you know, it's in the comments on the right side.
This is on where now? This is on Facebook?
The NLA site.
NLA website, on the right side.
Oh, okay. Oh, and Fourth Branch is the name of the commenter.
Right.
Right, I got you.
And,
well, you know, the judges in New York quoted a case when we first went into the courts to tell us why we can't use common law. And it was a real poor case, as far as I was concerned, of what they, how they were resting in the fact that we didn't have the authority. And it turns out it was a 5-3 decision. Well, this was a New York State case, so I don't know. I think there's 9 justices. But anyway, there was 3 or 4 justices that wrote a dissenting opinion. And those 4 justices said, this is unconstitutional. So I read the case, and I read the opinions, the for and against opinions. And so when we sent our paper back, what we did, we said, look it, the 4 justices, or the 3, whatever they were, the minority got it right. It's unconstitutional. And we're resting in their experience, and we the people agree with them, and we are above you. And so therefore, that case, we've just overturned it. That case should have went the other way. We got 3 judges or 4 judges that say so, and the five that said that went with it, they need to be taken out because that was an unconstitutional, treasonous decision they made.
Right.
And that's what you're going to rest in, and we rest our case because we're the people. That's how we spoke to them.
And these guys need to be on that list, you know, of documented, you know, that Rolodex. They need to be in that Rolodex.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Look, at they, we indicted them. We still have to go back after them. They're evil, evil. And the thing is the judges that descended made such good arguments, such great arguments, I couldn't have answered them better myself. So sometimes when they take a case and they give it to you as an example of what they're arresting in, you need to read the whole thing, including the dissenting opinion, because that was a gold nugget in there that they probably never expected we were going to use that case that they gave to us against us and turn it around and say, that's wonderful. We agree with the minority, and we're the people, so we just pushed it over the top, and you're wrong, and we're right.
Right.
You know?
I posted online. I was making a post about, you know, the common law grand jury with a link back to National Liberty Alliance, and someone mentioned to me about a common law venue in Massachusetts. I don't know anything about it. Have you guys heard anything about that? They were talking about how they were under attack. Their website was taken down, but I don't know. I just thought I'd bring it up. I just
in Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts.
No, I haven't heard. I mean, Massachusetts. That is kind of a, I think more, you know, they're pretty liberal, I think, in Massachusetts. Isn't that the, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know either. I didn't research it yet. I'll have to look it up later.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that. Well, anyway, it's heading for 12 o'clock, so if you got nothing else, I'm going to go ahead and turn in if everybody's got everything talked out here. Good call.
Great. Good call.
Yep. Thank you, guys. We'll pick it back up and see where we go. All right?
Sounds good.
Have a good night, everyone.
Yep. Good night.
Night.
God bless.
Night.
God bless.
Good night, everyone.
Yep.